about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Didn't think you'd come.
Well, I'm here.
Appreciate that.
So say what you gotta say.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I know you're all feeling the darkness here today, but there's no reason to give in. No matter what you've heard, this process will not take years. In my heart, I know we cannot be defeated because there is an answer that will open the door. There is a way around this system. This is a test of our patience and commitment. One great idea can win someone over.
That was very inspiring. Do you have any idea what the idea is?
No.
We're all on the same team.
Alright, team up. Yeah, I got my membership card here somewhere.
And now.
Feel like a virgin. 18 again. Vaginal tightening and rejuvenating gel. Now in India.
Our feature presentation.
That woman sounded very not sexy.
Ladies.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin Abicho. Hello.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, this is weird because I can't hear myself. This is very weird.
Oh, everything's going well, I think.
I just don't like this. So you can hear me, but I can't hear myself.
That would be the case, yes.
Okay, well, that's not going to be fun, but let's give it a try, I guess. Hi, beer mug.
I'm still sleeping.
Come on, what's up with that?
I'm tired.
But, Kevin,
what do you expect me to do? I'm tired.
Weren't you out at a Kings game late last night?
Yeah.
And you're able to be here this morning.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Right. Bugs was out at the Dodgers game last night. Understandable. Exciting. Late night. I get that.
But didn't it start at like 5?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I mean,
come on.
How can he be less reliable than you?
How dare you, sir?
How is that possible? That should be a gut check, Muggs. If you're up now and listening, you should be thinking, I'm falling behind Kevin's reliability.
How dare you?
Come on. All right. Well, before we get started on today's excellent Kevin and Bean show, and I mean that, we do have a good one. It's a shame I'm not going to be able to hear it. But this is awesome, Kevin. You're going to love this. You love the Navy SEALs, right?
I do.
Love the Navy SEALs. This is a kid. His name is Walter Greentree. He's in a military family. His dad's in the Navy. He's a six-year-old Northern Virginian first grader. He and his friend were making a bunch of noise playing at the house. His mom says, hey, be quiet like a seal. They stop in their tracks. Ninjas are quieter, says the little boy Walker's friend. He says, no, they're not. Seals are quieter than ninjas, and they get into a big argument about it. So mom, who also used to be in the Navy, by the way, suggested that they write to the one man who would know, the head of the SEALs, Admiral William McRaven. He is the commander of U.S. Special Operations Command. He's the guy who led, oh, I don't know, among other things, the Osama bin Laden raid.
Right.
So the kid pulls out his SpongeBob pencil, and he writes a letter to the admiral. Huh? Dear Admiral McRaven, when I grow up, I want to be a SEAL too, but can you tell me who is quieter, SEALs or ninjas? And also, how long can you hold your breath for? V.R. Walter Greentree, which stands for very respectfully, by the way.
Okay.
So he writes to this guy. Well, he's got to be one of the busiest guys in the service, right? And of course, this wouldn't be a story unless he got a response back. Walker, thanks for writing me. You did a great job of drawing the trident. It looks just like my personal coin. The trident is the logo, that they use.
Right.
My personal coin, which I've sent you along with this letter. I only give this to very special kids, so I hope you like it. This is a coin, by the way, that Navy SEALs get if they have particularly excellent missions. It's kind of like a thank you.
Right.
And apparently you can walk into any military bar and put it down on the counter and get a free drink.
Sweet.
To answer your question, and by the way, Kevin, you have a guess here? Ninjas or SEALs? Who's quieter?
Well, no, I don't have a guess. It's obvious. Ninjas.
To answer your questions, I think ninjas are probably quieter than SEALs.
There you go.
But we are better swimmers and also better with guns and blowing things up. I can hold my breath for a long time, but I try to not to unless I really have to. Remember, if you want to be a SEAL, you must do two things. Listen to your parents and be nice to other kids. If you do, then you can probably be a SEAL, too.
Wow.
How great is that?
That's a crazy. Great letter.
Isn't that awesome?
And he got the kid's going to be a lush, unfortunately, because now he's got that coin.
Yeah.
He's just going to go from bar to bar. His future is ruined.
You know me, special ops.
Mom says that he keeps slapping it down on the kitchen counter, hoping he'll get some free Sprite. But they're hanging on the fridge. He keeps the coin under his pillow, and he's practicing holding his breath, and he wants to grow up and be a Navy SEAL, and I just think that is awesome. I mean, that's an awesome story.
It really is.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Me Show, shall we?
How thick is it?
I've always asked that question.
Rather not answer that first thing. We have a brand new game called Guess the Thing.
Yay!
In about a half hour.
This will be the high point.
We know very, I'm looking forward to it.
We know very little about it. Bean has played this one pretty close to the chest.
Okay.
But that's going to happen.
Look, we have to try new stuff every once in a while. It could fail. I'm sure Ralph will hate it, but I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to giving it a try.
We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about the Doyers.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
How they're moving on to the next round.
Very exciting.
Sally Salsano. Mm-hmm. In studio, are you hearing an echo out there?
I just hit one button for a second see if that would help me hear.
Do less of that. She has a show on Sci-Fi called Fangasm.
Did you watch any of that yesterday?
I did not, no.
I teared up.
Really?
You teared up?
I teared up. One of the most emotional things I've seen on TV. It was crazy.
What?
Yes, I know. I'm a statue. I know. I'm the man who never cries.
Right. Unless there's a complete absence of a reason to cry, then you'll cry. Odd. I can't wait to tell her this. Laura Wasser will be in studio as well.
Mm-hmm.
She, of course, is a divorce attorney, one of the most famous.
Yeah.
Is she going to charge us like $800 an hour just to have her on? I mean, how's this going to work?
I would guess so.
That's how they do it, yeah.
I would guess so. She has a new book called It Doesn't Have to Be That Way. And we also have STP with Chester Bennington. In the studio.
Fantastic.
And performing live.
All right.
Wow.
So how about that? We're going to try and get some of our technical issues fixed, and we'll be back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55. Got a brand new game for you just after the top of the hour. We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the next round of the playoffs, and Laura Wasser will be here.
Should be interesting.
Going to do Ask a Divorce Attorney.
Okay.
On this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. But first, Ralph is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Hey,
what's going on?
Tuesday.
All right, moving on. Yes, it is.
Tuesday's a special day. It's new release day.
All right.
I'll give you a heads up what you can pick up with your entertainment dollar, like CDs, for example.
Yes.
How about a little something called High Rise? It's an EP by some gentleman I like to refer to as the Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington.
Yay!
Strong.
If only we could talk to them about that new EP.
Yeah, they'll
some
be
music.
They'll be here later today.
Oh, yeah. They're, okay, it's fun to pretend, isn't it?
They're playing acoustic, by the way.
What?
I didn't know
Christmas
that either.
Is already going to come around?
I didn't know that either until they tweeted it this morning, that they're coming in, they're playing acoustic, so that should be fascinating.
Bangers by Miley Cyrus. That's out today. Bangers.
Yeah.
Dude, she's like...
She does stick her tongue out.
Banging, because it's bangers, so there's probably banging, and she's like swinging naked on a ball. Dude, she's so radical.
You couldn't stop me from buying that album, by the way.
I could if I put a bullet between your eyes.
Whoa. First of all, why would we want to? But second of all, really?
Look, I think her music's been great. This new version of Miley is working for me.
That's one thing saying, you know, I'm going to check that out. Like, right. You couldn't stop me from buying that album.
I'm very excited. Look, the last two big number one songs I've loved. I can't wait to hear some more.
Is there a way
exciting
to,
story.
Wait, that we can't hear him, but Bean can hear himself? Can we do that?
It would be better.
Bitter Rivals by Sleigh Bells. Melophobia by Cage the Elephant. Ponder the Mystery by William Shatner. There's no way you could stop me from buying that album.
This is a big day today. Wow, this is Christmas time.
The Paradigm Shift by Korn. Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die by Panic at the Disco. So that's what you can pick up on CDs. We'll talk about DVDs and whatnot later on in the show. Speaking of new music, as I mentioned, Bangers comes out today. And you couldn't stop me from buying it. She was on the Today Show, that Miley Cyrus, doing an interview with Matt Lauer.
I bet she stuck her tongue out.
No, man, she laid it out the way it really is. This is just who I am, she said. I know who I am, and I know that I'm an artist.
Don't try so hard.
You know, that's exactly how you get me from stop buying an album right there is this interview. But the best part of the interview happened just a couple minutes in, where Lauer asked her, and I think rightly so, is this a phase? Is this sexual side of you that we're seeing a lot of right now something that's going to be here for a while, and then you move on to something else? Miley responded, well, I heard when you turned 40, things start to go a little less sexual. So probably around 40, around that time, I heard that's when people don't have sex anymore. So I guess maybe around then.
All right.
40. Good. 40, she's going to stop having sex, I guess. Do you know how old I am? Matt Lauer asked. I'm going to guess 40. Miley responded. Lauer, I love you. I'm 55. Miley Cyrus. 55? Oh, well, then you're definitely not sexual.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And then he hit her with a wrecking ball.
Imagine how much Matt Lauer hates his job on days like yesterday, yes, where he has to interview Miley Cyrus. I mean, here's a guy who has the president on. You know what I mean? I mean, that's this job. Now he's interviewing Miley about twerking.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Angus T. Jones. He's been a little shut the show called Two and a Half Men.
Then he said, hey, my show sucks.
It's
don't watch
crap.
It.
Don't watch it. I'm on it and I hate it. And they said, well, we can fix that. Can't fix you hating it, but we can fix you being on it. He's 20 years old today. Singer Bruno Mars turns 28. Travis Pastrana, 30 years old today. Great extreme athlete.
He's only 30? Really? Doesn't it seem like he's been famous our whole lives, you guys?
Yeah, it does. He started young. And he makes a great sandwich, too. You ever have a pastrana sandwich on rye with a little hot mustard?
That's
and
very just, different.
Oh, though. So good. Nick Cannon is 33 years old today. Matt Damon's 43. Cool of Cool and the Gang is 63 years old today. Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight.
Might need some mugs.
Gordon Beerbug, yeah.
This morning.
Sigourney Weaver, 64. Comedian, actor Chevy Chase is 70 years old. Civil rights activist Jesse Jackson, stay out with the withers, 72 years old. And Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dundee, is 74 years old today. That's not a birthday. This is a birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How much you eat at the game last night, by the way, Muggs? Is that part of why you were in a food coma?
Oh, yes.
Do you have one of everything at Dodger Stadium?
I ate every Dodger dog there was. And I finished other people's.
Yeah. I don't find this failure's funny anymore.
Really? Are you over it? It's not
amused.
Charming anymore?
Nah.
It's not a delightful character quirk?
Really.
All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for Tuesday. I thought this was fascinating, and I hope this is going to be fun. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a new game to the Kevin and Bean Show we call Name the Thing.
You want to try again?
You want to try it by the real name?
Is that what it's called?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, time for our new game. We call this Guess the Thing.
Guess the Thing. You had me guessing. You make everything all guessing. Guess the Thing.
All right, so far so good.
All right. I read this fascinating article about how movies, motion pictures from America, are marketed around the world and how oftentimes the title of the American movie doesn't make any sense in the other language. You know, you get a movie like Silver Linings Playbook, for instance, is a perfect example of a title that is difficult. I mean, you have to pretty much be American to understand what that means.
Right.
So you go to France, for instance, and that movie is called Happiness Therapy.
Oh, boy.
So they have to change the titles of the movies in order for them to make sense because they're trying to market it to that individual country.
Hmm.
And I have a list here of popular movies and what their titles are around the world. And I thought it would be fun if I throw out some of these titles and you guys jump in and see if you can come up with what the American movie is that we're talking about.
Now, is there a grand prize for the winner here? Or how does this work?
Just
what do we win?
Deep satisfaction. That's all. Just now some
got
of them
already. Thanks.
Can I go?
This is kind of like when we play the Twitter game. It's just fun to play and fun to win. I mean, right. some subtitles are just impossible. Like, for instance, Lost in Translation, for instance, in Portugal, was known as Meetings and Failures in Meetings. Now, that's the type of title that in a million years you'd never be able to figure out. But some of them, they do give you a clue to what they are.
And we're supposed to guess the thing.
You're supposed to guess the thing. Exactly.
And the thing in this case would be the movie.
The movie title. We're looking for the movie title.
Gotcha.
For instance, in France, a very, very popular series of movies in recent years is called Very Bad Trip. Very Bad Trip.
Very Bad Trip. Hangover.
Hangover.
Yeah.
Ralph gets the point. Okay. Well done, Ralph.
Master.
In Italy, very popular movie a number of years back called If You Leave Me, I Delete You.
I delete you.
If you leave me, I delete you in Italy.
If you leave me, I delete you.
I think you'll know this one when you, of course, you'll know it when you hear it. So you'll have the answer, yeah. But it'll make sense. That one is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh.
Remember the movie where they erase memories.
Yeah.
Exactly. In China, very popular movie, an older film, I Will Marry a Prostitute to Save Money.
Pretty Woman.
Ralph again. Also in China, just send him to university unqualified. Let's go see the smash hit, Just Send Him to University Unqualified.
Just send him to university unqualified.
Back to school?
That's a good guess. This one was Risky Business in China. Risky Business.
Risky Business.
All right, let's see how fast you are. This one, He's a Ghost.
Ghost?
He's a Ghost. No, it's not Ghost.
It's not Ghost.
He's a Ghost.
He's a Ghost.
Sixth Sense.
Kevin for the point.
There you go.
Well done.
Why would they?
Ralph has two. I have one.
It's okay, Lisa.
It's not a spoiler anymore.
No.
Giant Goose
Egg. I know, but I mean, it's in the title.
Yeah.
Why would you put the spoiler in the title?
Yeah, that's true. That'd be disappointing.
He's a Ghost. Nobody in China enjoyed that movie.
There was no surprise.
Also in China, his great device makes him famous.
Great device makes him famous.
Iron Man?
Good guess.
Ooh,
good guess.
Oh, good one, Lisa.
His great device makes him famous.
His great device makes him famous.
Don't know.
I don't know.
Don't even have a guess. Oh, Facebook?
No. Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
It's not a device.
It's not a device. What's going on?
His great device. One more from China. Mysterious murder in snowy cream.
Fargo?
Yes!
Snowy cream?
Well done!
That sounds like something I read that had nothing to do with Fargo.
What's the score here, Kevin? How are we doing at the game?
Ralph has three. I have one. Lisa
has none.
Come on, Lisa. Step up.
Right. All right. I'm just half a second
step
behind.
Step up.
Let's move to Israel now. We're at the movies in Israel now. And we're going to see the hilarious romantic comedy Slightly Pregnant.
Slightly pregnant.
Knocked Up?
Yes, Lisa May.
Well done.
Knocked Up.
Thank you. I got a
point. She was fully pregnant in that.
I know, but it's the only one I could think of.
I have a problem with that.
I can't justify the titles. I'm just telling you what they are. Also in Israel, this is an older movie also. Love is in the Sky.
Top Gun?
Yes, Ralph Garman.
Really?
How did you pull that
out
of your ass from 30 years ago?
I thought a love story that had to do with the sky flying and planes.
Wow.
And Top Gun.
Wow. All right. Here's, again in Israel, a more recent film. This one is going by the title, the very appetizing title, Rain of Falafel. Rain of Falafel.
Raining Meatballs. Meatballs 2.
Cloudy with Meatballs. Who do I give the point to in that case?
I got the title right. Not Raining Meatballs. The guy who didn't say Raining Meatballs.
It's Raining Meatballs.
That's another Ralph Garman point, I guess. Last one from Israel. Super Horny.
Super horny.
It's not super bad.
Super
is
bad.
It?
Yes, Kevin. Super bad is absolutely right. I like super horny better.
Like,
by the way,
just go with horny.
All right, we just have time for a couple more here. Here's a gimme, Lisa, so you can get some more points
Thank
on the board.
You.
In Argentina, the film was known as Vaseline.
Grease.
Oh, Ralph.
It's not even fair.
I was going to say KY. All right.
Different kind of movie. You're ready. Two more. In Denmark, this one was known as The Boy Who Drowned in Chocolate Sauce.
Charlie Walker and the Chocolate Factory.
We have to go to the tape. I'm sorry. I couldn't tell who was first.
Totally first.
Let's give it to Lisa because she only has one. So now she's tied with me and Ralph has six.
All right.
Wow. All right. Final film. This one's from Thailand. A fairly recent movie. A couple of years old, maybe.
Is this all or nothing, though? I mean, like, if I get it, do I win the game?
I don't believe so. No. Unless this is a 5-point.
That's what I'm saying. It should be a 5-point.
Maybe I should find a tough one and make it a 5-point just so anyone can win.
What if I hit the stutter button and then we have to go back inside the hourglass, and then Ryan Seacrest has to give me two chances to go back and counterbounce.
All right, so no 5-pointer.
Okay.
All right, in Thailand, a couple years old.
Sizzle game.
Odd couple, wacky trip, go together in time for birth.
Oh,
road
oh,
trip.
Oh.
What the hell? Easy. It needs to be longer. I know that.
No, I totally know the movie. I can't think of the title.
You all do. You all know this
movie.
Yeah. Odd couple, wacky trip, go together in time
it's
for
Zach
birth.
Zach Galifianakis and Robert Downey Jr.
What?
How about a title?
I can't think of the title. Come on, you
That's
guys.
Correct.
I gave you the actors.
I'm out.
That's correct. Yeah. Due date, ladies and gentlemen.
Due date.
Is the film we were looking
for. I was thinking that too, Lisa. That's why I came up with a road trip.
I'm proud to not have known that.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Ralph Garman is the winner of our first edition ever of Guess the Thing. Former sports guy and friend of the Kevin Bean Show, Matt Money Smith, joins us in a few minutes to relive the magic of last night's Dodger clinching victory on their way to the National League playoffs. Very excited about that. Also very excited to see my favorite Pope back in the news. Pope Francis.
How many people have a favorite Pope?
Well, if they do, this is the guy.
He's the best Pope ever.
Yeah.
You know, just like you could look, if you find somebody who's passionate about something, they're usually willing to spend money on it. Like, that's how you're able to sell a billion Belieber toothbrushes,
sure.
You know, to Justin Bieber toothbrushes, because he's got little fans who just want to have anything with his face on it. Well, it's the same thing with Catholics and how much they love their Pope. And there's this guy who has figured out that he can make money off the Pope. So he makes fragrances for the Popes. He had a fragrance for Pope Pius IX. He had a Benedict Pope, and now he has just unveiled his Francis cologne.
Wait, does he work with the Pope?
Yeah, is this
an official thing? Pick out this fragrance?
I don't know. We can find out though, because I believe His Holiness is on the line. We can find out how this cologne was made. If this is something that has been done with his knowledge, how involved he is in it, because I believe we've got him on the line from the Vatican right now. Hi, Your Holiness.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. How's Popedom?
It's good.
It's Popedom.
Everybody's very religious here.
Yeah, I bet.
I bet that's true.
A lot of God, a lot of Jesus.
Sure. Yeah, we like him. we hear the praying.
Right.
And, we're staying in business, I think, the Catholic
okay.
Church. I think we'll be around for a while.
I think so, too. So what do you know about this CEO of this Excelsius Fine Fragrances Company? His name is Frederick Haas, and he has introduced the new Francis perfume.
Freddie and I got together to build my signature scent.
Oh, you worked on it with him?
Of course, yes. Well,
fantastic.
You know, I knew Gaga had her own scent.
Lady mm-hmm. Gaga?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Steve Gaga.
I didn't know you'd be aware of Lady Gaga.
Yes, Lady Gaga.
All right.
And Bieber had his own scent.
Right.
That's Steve Bieber?
Justin Bieber.
Oh, Justin. Yeah. Okay.
And I figured, why not have a papal scent for people to want to wear for smelling good, for like a pope?
So is this just a regular business where he's just making money off of selling the Pope thing, or are some of the proceeds going back into Catholic charities, or how's it work?
Are you making it?
I don't make the money. I am a man who does not care about money.
Okay.
I just want to help people, and I think the church needs to concentrate more on poor people and people in serious need. The church needs to fulfill its obligation to the downtrodden.
Okay.
Well, that's very nice.
Yes.
That's very nice.
So all of the money from the fragrance will go to me.
I'm sorry, what?
Wait. What?
All of the money will go to you?
Or someone I know.
You said you didn't care about money, though.
I don't care about money.
No. Okay. You're going to help the downtrodden, you said.
Sure, yeah. They'll smell good.
They'll smell good.
Okay. Downtrodden will finally smell good.
I see.
Usually they smell like crap.
Right. Now, I don't understand any of the words in this description of your fragrance.
Okay, I'll help you.
Yeah, it's a fresh fragrance with a citrusy top note of bergamot.
Yes, sure.
And a soft, woody dry down of sandalwood.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand.
I don't know what any of that stuff smells like.
Bergamot is a herb. It's a wood.
Okay.
It's a piece of glass. I don't know what that is. But the sandalwood, I know for sure, is wood.
Okay.
It has a very distinctive smell to it. Smells like a sandal.
I don't think you're making that up. It's just called sandalwood. I doubt it's called.
Why would they call it sandalwood if it wasn't?
Well, I don't know. I don't have any idea. I thought maybe
Jesus' sandal when he walked the cross through the 12 stations.
Uh-huh.
And he sweated a lot.
That doesn't sound appetizing at all.
Yeah, smell like that, do you think?
Yeah, scent of Christ. Do you ever go to church? They give out the communion wafers at the end. Scent of Christ.
I think that's body of Christ. Yeah. Is that body of Christ?
I'll fill in the blanks. It's okay. So it's for people, you know, if the scent is like I am. It's humble.
Mm-hmm.
It is simple.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want anything too much, too flowery. I don't believe in that with the church.
Okay.
So it smells like a homeless guy's crotch.
Oh, man.
Which is humble.
Yeah, but...
And simple.
But nobody wants to smell like that.
Have you ever smelled a homeless man's crotch?
No.
Could smell like cookies for all you know. See, that's the problem. You judge, you point the finger, and you judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged.
Have you smelled a homeless person's crotch?
Well, from a distance. I don't want to get close to them.
It just seems it's unlikely they smell like cookies.
Well, you don't know. That's where a lot of homeless people keep their cookies.
Oh. Okay.
They don't have a drawer or anything to put them in. They're homeless.
Right.
They don't have a cookie jar. Well, they take their Chips Ahoy and they put them in their pants.
Okay. All right. This has been a very educational conversation you're holding.
That's what I'm here for. You want a Nilla wafer?
No.
It's in my pants. Dodgers!
Both of these last two games at Dodger Stadium have got to be the most fun you can have as a baseball fan, to see the way your team is playing and to see how exciting it has been and to see winning for the first time in a long time and moving on to the National League playoffs.
Winning does help.
Winning helps a lot. Matt Money Smith, former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, and now on AM 570 as the Petros and Money Afternoon Show, joins us on the phone. Hey, Matt. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Where's my money, Bean, you MF-er?
I do. On an unrelated note, I do owe you 50 credits this year, don't I?
Again.
It's like a dividend payment, you know? I've invested in the stock, and every year I get a nice check in the mail.
Money, how many years have you been doing it, and how many times have you lost?
Since 2002. So this will be our 11th year.
And you've lost how many times?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Now, I started this bet, and I know we're off topic here, but just for a minute. I started this bet, Kevin, after the 2001 season where the Mariners had the most wins a team has ever had in the history of baseball.
Right.
Okay? And I thought, this is the golden age. We're never going to stop winning. Never made the playoffs again.
Sweet.
So every year we bet on whether the Angels do better than the Mariners, and every single year I send another one of Matt's kids to college.
It's wonderful.
That's basically how it works.
Very well for me.
So, Money, were you and P broadcasting from there yesterday?
No, we were broadcasting from the studio because it was an early start, so we just kind of moved our show from, you know, it's usually 3 to 7 back to noon and kind of led all the way up to that first pitch.
Hey, what happened with Pat O'Brien? Don't take him off the air.
Well, like we said, gives you an opportunity to listen to the radio again at noon.
This is the outcome that we have been expecting for the last few months since the Dodgers got red hot. I mean, they have seemed, and I know this may make people nervous that I'm saying this out loud, but they have seemed like a team that has the potential to go all the way, and they're just fulfilling that now.
Yeah, you know, we talked to Eric Karros yesterday, and he made, I think, you know, the point that so many people that have played the game or that analyze the game for a living have, and that's, look, you look at the rosters, you look at the way they play, who's available to them to come off the bench, late game situation like yesterday with Juan Uribe and Yasiel Puig. He's like, and it just looks like the Dodgers and the Red Sox are so much better than everybody else that it really would be a wild disappointment not to see those two teams in the World Series.
Absolutely. And Don Mattingly has to be breathing a huge sigh of relief after this homestand, because there were a lot of people who were questioning his managing in that game that they lost to the Braves with some of the late inning choices that he made. But he couldn't have picked better last night, that's for sure.
No, and that's baseball. I mean, you know, that's such a stupid thing to say, but that's really what it is. You know, you look at the numbers, you analyze the statistics, and you say, well, we should put a guy on first base and get the force out so I can get a lefty-lefty matchup, and then it backfires, and of course it becomes the worst decision in the history of managing a baseball
team. It's either the best or the worst.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the problem with Don is he's not Magic Johnson, Mark Walter, Stan Kasten's guy. They inherited him. You know, Joe Torre was the skipper when Frank McCourt was still the owner. It was, you know, he came on by saying, I'll manage the team, but I want Don to take over for me. Let's put that into action. So I kind of understand why Mattingly hasn't necessarily gotten the official stamp of approval, because he's not their guy. And maybe this ownership group wasn't quite as sold on him as the McCourt ownership was. And hopefully after this, because Don's a really good dude.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Easy to like.
I was going to ask on a separate note, is he capable of taking them all the way through and winning the World Series?
Yeah, I think so. You know, again, going back to, you know, what a lot of the baseball people say is, you know, really, what the job of a manager is to stay the hell out of the way, you know, to realize what
you
have.
Well, I can do that.
Let the starters start and go, you know, work themselves out of their issues. Don't yank them too early. Trust your bullpen. Get your matchups right. Lefty, lefty, righty, righty. You know, don't get too crazy with your double switches and things like that. And just let the best roster in baseball win games. And that's what he's done for the most part.
Let's talk, Matt, about a couple of the heroes of last night's game, and we got to start with Clayton Kershaw, who better win the goddamn Cy Young Award again this year. That was obviously, it turned out to be the right move to put him in after only 3 days rest, but it certainly didn't have to have worked out that way.
No, and again, you know, kind of what the deal is with pitchers and rest, and for people that don't know, you normally get 4 days rest. He got one last. It doesn't really do anything physically to you, stamina wise. I mean, Kershaw's huge. If you've ever been next to him, or if you can tell when you're looking at him being interviewed, he's just a big, strong Texan. I mean, that's how he's built.
Right.
So physically, they knew he was fine. It's just a question of how a pitcher mentally responds to breaking their routine. I mean, that's how athletes are. They have a routine. They have a schedule. They like to stick to it. When that schedule isn't adhered to, that's when just mentally they can get a little out of whack. If things go bad early, do they start thinking, damn, you know, I knew I should have done this. The 3 days rest thing's not for that sort of deal. So that's really the only thing that comes into play. And when you're as good as that guy is, it typically does not matter.
I love in the postgame interview, he said, look, I'll pitch tomorrow if they want me to. I'm in it. This next month is going to be the greatest month ever. I can't wait.
But they don't play tomorrow. Isn't that a factor?
A little bit.
Carl Crawford. Who?
Yeah, well, Crawford, remember, this was one of the best leadoff hitters in all of baseball when he was with the Rays. Went to Boston, signed that big money deal. Just, you know, some guys are made for Boston, some aren't. And clearly Carl Crawford wasn't, especially when he got injured the second he signed that $160 million deal. Those fans began piling on, and he just could not dig himself out of that hole. He's been really good. He hasn't been great. He certainly hasn't been $20 million a year great. For the Dodgers at the same time, that's the talent he has. And when you can, you know, I mean, he provided all the offense for Kershaw, those two runs before he left, and Uribe hit that home run in the eighth. So that's what he's paid to do. That's what he should do. He plays a good defensive outfield. That's certainly one of the more underrated aspects of his game that people never talk about. So, yeah, I mean, is it a surprise he had two solo home runs? Sure. It probably shouldn't be that big of a surprise.
Well, it was somebody who tweeted last night that he had more home runs in the last hour at the time during the game than he had in the previous 131 games. That was very
so there's funny. That.
So, what's next? When's the next game for the National? It's going to be Friday, and it's going to be.
If it's the Pirates, it'll start at Dodger Stadium Friday, Saturday. If it's the Cardinals, we'll start in St. Louis, and then we'll get games three and four here, and then a potential game six. So for Dodger fans, if you want to get your, baseball karma or spirit going directed at St. Louis, you should be pulling for the Pirates, I guess, because you want to have that home field advantage. You get the extra game here at game seven if you need it. Both teams are really good. It won't be an easy NLCS regardless, but you know, the thing about the Cardinals, they've been there before. They're just one of those teams that knows how to grind things out, you know, grind it back like they did, you know, yesterday in that game. It looked like the Pirates had all that momentum coming in the late innings. They get the home run. They get a guy on first. They're, you know, the MVP of the National League, McCutcheon's at the plate, and they just grind out an at-bat, you know, and get them to pop out. That's just the way they are. I think if you want the Dodgers in the World Series, you're probably better served getting the Pirates instead of the Cardinals.
All right. It's starting to feel like 1988 a little bit, though. I know we don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but, man, it's a great group of guys, isn't it? So much fun to watch.
Well, it's the Dodgers, and you're going back 25 years to acknowledge the last moment of greatness. It's about time.
It's about time. Matt Money Smith, AM 570 in the afternoons with our good friend, The P. Thanks, Matt.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 655.
One of the most successful executive TV producers in the business, Sally Ann Salsano, joins us next there on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, she's made a new show about your people. You're going to love it so much. It's called Fangasm.
Yeah.
We'll talk all about that coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Hollywood divorce attorney Laura Wasser later on today, plus STP with Chester Bennington performing live. A lot of show coming up. Time now for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Little her.
She's still sober, according to all sources. How about that?
Good for her.
Indeed. After about a half a dozen stints in rehab, looks like this one is sticking. Lindsay's an old pro at drying out, and now she hopes to capitalize on her newfound sobriety. How? Well, according to RadarOnline.com, she's interested in opening up a recovery center. Look, if you're looking for help to get clean and sober, who else to turn to but Lindsay Lohan? Where it is, she is talking to some of her wealthy friends, hoping they'll invest in a recovery center, and then she would attach her name to the clinic. It would be like the Betty Ford Center, only be the Lindsay Lohan Center.
That's a little...
It's exactly the same thing,
a little weird. She's been on the straight and narrow for 6 months, and she feels one of the things she feels obligated to do, and this is part of any program, she wants to help other people, other young people that may be suffering with dependencies on drugs or alcohol, and this would be her way to give back. The Lindsay Lohan Rehab Center.
Okay. Imagine the party in that place.
Oh,
that's where I want to go to
that
dry
place would
out.
Go off.
Glow sticks in everybody's hands, and disco balls, and strobe lights going on. Just water coolers full of Molly.
Water coolers full of Molly, by the way.
That's a good band.
Yeah. Looks like we have our next victim coming up in the cancellation for the new fall season. It's not a new show. But looks like ABC's Betrayal could be the next show getting the axe. Sunday show had just 4 million viewers, and worse, the show was down about 13% from its debut this season. So it looks like Betrayal could be disappearing.
Who's on that?
Now, we'll never know if that girl killed that dude's mother.
That is the show.
Right? It's like something like that?
Yeah.
It's Madeline Stowe, I know, is in it, and like some hot blonde chick.
No, I think Madeline Stowe is in Revenge.
Oh, that's Revenge. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Betrayal's Betrayal a different one, where like
the girl goes
girl
undercover
killed,
to find out
who killed her friend.
Friend.
Right, and maybe it's the brother.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Wait, there's a scandal, there's a betrayal,
and there's a revenge.
And there's a revenge?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
No wonder we're confused.
Yeah, I was confused. Revenge is doing fine. Betrayal, however, is not doing so good. So we may never know who...
I'm okay with that.
I did that dude. Thing. What's the stuff?
Lisa has like her fingers in every failing TV show. She knows
I watched two episodes.
If you want to know what show is going to be canceled, you just go through Lisa's DVR.
Let me tell you about the cast of Betrayal, Ralph, because it has all of your favorite stars in it.
Oh.
Helena Mattson.
Love her.
Roxana Brusso.
Oh, love Roxy Brew. That's what I call
Russ
her.
Russ Panzarella.
Oh. Good
Aaron
work.
Luboff and James Chudnow. Apparently, they're all. How do they get a cast like that all on one show? Wait, we've never heard of one of those
Not
people.
Not one, no.
Luboff? Really? That's his name?
Aaron Luboff.
Luboff and Chudnow are working together again? I heard they'd never work together again after that famous squabble they had on the set of Angst. Remember the show Angst?
I don't.
Luboff and Chudnow?
I don't think that's a thing.
A mini reunion of sorts for Beverly Hills 90210 co-stars Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling. They are going to be starring in a new show on ABC Family called Mystery Girls. Kind of a cute premise. The show is about two former TV stars who used to solve crime on television, and now they get together and solve crimes in real life.
Okay.
So let's pretend Tori Spelling and Jenny Garth, instead of being on 90210 together, we were back in the day on, you know, like a Hardy Boys sort of young girl
Nancy Drew-ish mystery-solving show. And now they're grown up, and then they solve crimes in real life now. It's kind of cute.
Maybe.
And Halle Berry's coming back to television.
Was she ever on television?
Sure. She was on her... She had her own short-lived ABC series called Living Dolls back in the late 80s, where she started her movie career. She was also on Knott's Landing for a brief period of time. But now she is going to be on CBS, starring in a new sci-fi TV show for Steven Spielberg, who will be the producer.
Hack.
It's called Extant. And Halle will play an astronaut who returns to Earth after a year-long mission and finds that she has changed the course of history somehow.
Okay.
One of those time travel conundrum dealios. She just gave birth to her second child, so she's going to heal up and get back in shape, and then she's going to be on television for Spielberg.
As long as it's a dealio, I'm in.
I'm so tired of, you know, all these shows that show female astronauts as being unattractive. Finally, they're starting to reflect how they really look, with Sandra Bullock in Gravity and Halle Berry as an astronaut on television. Finally, female astronauts are getting represented in the media the way they truly are, which are stunningly beautiful, every one of them, across the board.
Look, if there's one thing I know from going to school myself, is the hottest chicks all go into science.
Absolutely. You know, Gravity originally, Angelina Jolie was supposed to play that role.
Is that right?
That Bullock played, yeah. I said, well, that would have been more believable than an even hotter astronaut in space. It would be better for me to suspend my disbelief.
Kevin pointed out how poorly named that movie is, by the way, and I can't help thinking about the fact that the one thing that's not in that movie at all is gravity, yet they call it Gravity. What's up with that?
Maybe not physical gravity, but how about emotional gravity? Mm-hmm. Does it have any of that?
I didn't realize it was good. Right?
Working on other
deeper
levels.
Why don't you look a little deeper next time?
I'm sorry, Kevin, too. I'm over here in the shallow part of the pool with Kevin.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Angus T. Jones is 20. Bruno Mars turns 25. Travis Pastrana celebrates his 30th birthday. Nick Cannon is 33. Matt Damon's 43. Cool of Cool and the Gang. Robert Cool Bell, 63 years old today. What was their big hit? I'm trying to remember. Was it Do a Little Dance, Make a Little Love, Get Down Tonight?
It might have been.
Could that have
been? Do a Little Dance, Make a Little Love, Get Down Tonight?
That's not even the whole interview you were looking for, is it?
You said last hour, oh, we should play some beer mug the next time you talk about that, were you just punking me?
I didn't say that, actually, but I should have remembered that you might ask for it. Here it is.
All right. Here at the Grammy Roundtable with Ronnie and Cool of none other than Cool and the Gang. How are you gentlemen doing?
Well, wonderful. How are you? Great.
Fantastic. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your biggest hits goes a little something like this. Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight?
No.
No.
I just think you're terrific.
We did tell him to correct him if he was wrong.
Yeah, he gave him that out.
Sigourney Weaver, 64. Chevy Chase is 70. Jesse Jackson, 72 years old. And actor Paul Hogan. Crocodile Dundee himself turned 74. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jonathan McClintock from La Mirada is going to see 30 Seconds to Mars twice on us here at the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for listening, Jonathan. You'll see them October 12th at the Hollywood Bowl, and then again 2 days later on the 14th in the Red Bull Sound Space right here at K-Rock. That's going to be a great show. Both of them are going to be a great show. They're a tremendous live performing band. Details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win coming up again next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Today is the day, talking about new music from William Shatner. He's got a new album out. This is his, third? How many albums has he done?
This is his third in recent years, Okay. Yeah, but then he had a string of them back in the 60s as well. I got to tell you, that one from about 5 years ago that he did with Ben Folds was great, unqualified great. Then he got a little off the rails a little bit. Started to get a little bit weird in his most recent ones, and this one, I can't even imagine what his prog rock album is going to sound like.
Ponder the Mystery.
Ooh, I like it.
Is the name of it. And we have one clip from it called Where Does the Time Go?
Okay.
This is William Shatner, new track, available today.
Where does time go? I finish the dishes. I go to the store. Before I know it, time is no more. I plan for the weekend. I drive to the sea. Lunch at the deli. No time for tea.
No time for tea.
That should be called No Time for Tea.
Now, is he just ad-libbing or are these lyrics? What's going on? We wanted to find out more. By the way, we sourced it. This is William Shatner's fifth album. Came out yesterday, and it is a prog rock album called Ponder the Mystery, and the great actor and Emmy winner William Shatner joins us on the phone right now. Hi, how, Bill?
Kevin and Bean, how are you?
Very good.
Correct.
Congratulations on the record on Ponder the Mystery.
Yes, we're very proud of it.
Mm-hmm. And this is you and who? Who's working with you on this record?
Oh, lots of people.
Okay.
Billy Sherwood from Yes, I see here. Yes. Rick Wakeman, also from Yes. Steve Vai, Robbie Krieger from The Doors, Mick Jones, Edgar Winter. I mean, you got quite a variety of musicians helping
out. Amazing musicians, yes. And we all got together in the studio and pumped up some really thoughtful, creative music.
Uh-huh. Where does the time go? Did you make that
good
up?
Good question. Where does the time go, Kevin? Mm-hmm. Right. Speaking of time, Kevin, you're almost out of time to buy a table for my charity event. My big horse show is coming up, of course. And we're going to count on you to buy a table. We're going to put you down just for three.
I'd rather you didn't.
Three of them? That's three
right. I'd rather that you didn't.
Four then.
I'd rather you didn't.
Okay, then.
Okay.
All right, so is there a theme? I understand it's a prog rock album, and I understand that's about the music, but what about the lyrics?
We were pondering the mystery.
Uh-huh.
Mystery.
Right.
What does it all mean?
Right.
The everyday becomes extraordinary if you look deep enough.
Okay.
Hmm. And some of these titles, Change.
Change.
Sunset,
Twilight. The only thing consistent in this world, Bean, is change.
Change, right.
Change.
There's one called So Am I.
So Am I, yes. So are you. We all are, aren't we?
I don't know what you're referring to, but...
Yes. Of course you don't.
Okay.
But you do.
The what's happening?
Pondering the mystery.
I don't really.
Is it? I don't mean this in a mean way at all, Mr. Shatner. Because
you do.
You know I love you. You know I'm a huge, huge
fan.
Would
you buy a table at my horse show?
Actually, I can't make it. I'm actually out of town.
I'll put you number two,
Bill. Excellent. But my question for you, Bill, is it possible that you're starting to go bye-bye? Is it possible now that you're in your 80s that things that you think are a good idea maybe aren't?
That's ridiculous.
It is.
This album is my best work ever.
Okay.
In fact, we have so many great songs, we couldn't even put them all on the CD.
You have 15 songs. That's a lot.
We've had some tracks that were just great, but we just didn't have room for them.
Oh.
So I'll probably be releasing Ponder the Mystery 2 sometime in the next couple of months.
Wow.
What kind of numbers are going to be on that one?
Similar numbers where we take a look at life's every day and find the deeper meaning inside.
Okay.
For example, I've got a great cut we couldn't fit on this album called Supermarket.
Supermarket.
Yeah. Here's a little taste. Going to the store. Paper towels. Dog food. Cat litter. Toothpaste. Deodorant. Tampons.
What
size does she take?
Oh, God.
I need some potting soil. They don't sell it here. Eggs. Brown ones. White ones. What's the difference? Eggs.
Bill, that's just a shopping list. That's
not
a song.
It's about life.
Well, I know. It's about the boring part of life where you go to the store and buy food.
But is it? Isn't food the most important thing in the world? Doesn't it give us sustenance, keep us alive?
Sure.
Well, there you go. This one is called Glove Compartment.
Glove Compartment.
That's not a song.
Cleaning out my glove compartment. I open the door. What's inside? Registration? Paperclip? How did that get in here? I need some potting soil. They don't sell it here.
Still? Wait, that was the last song.
The only thing not in my glove compartment. Gloves.
Oh, deep. That's very deep.
Wow.
I think so, too. That's, I think so.
Wow. I didn't realize how deep you were going with this one.
Yeah, it's pretty deep.
Wow.
I can't believe that didn't make Ponder the Mystery.
This one's called Waiting Room.
Waiting Room.
My dog's getting spayed. I can't help. I sit in the waiting room. Just waiting. Reading a magazine. Why do these cards keep falling out of the pages onto the floor? I pick them up. Or do I? I need some potting soil. They don't sell that.
You need potting soil.
So I hope you'll pick it up.
That's not much of a song, I got to be honest. That last one right there.
Aren't we all just waiting, though? In the big waiting room of life?
I mean...
Yes, we are.
Okay, all right.
Well, good luck with the record, and good luck with getting some potting soil, Captain.
You guys have any? I really need some potting
soil. We don't have any, no. She is the CEO of 495 Productions. They make all of our favorite reality TV shows, and she is Sally Ann Solzano. Back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Hi, Sally Ann. How are you?
Oh, you can't hear me?
Oh, you can't hear?
I'm going to turn your headphones up.
That's good work, fire.
Good prep work, producer Dave. Hi, Sally Ann.
Hey, how are you?
There you go.
How are you, girl?
I'm good.
Fantastic. The new show is called Fangasm. That's on tonight, episode 3 on the Sci-Fi Channel. And you told us right as that song was running out that the geek world, the nerd world, the fan world is something you're not that familiar with. How did you end up with this show?
You know, it's funny. Every once in a while, you start looking into, like, what is everyone talking about that I don't know?
Right.
And this is kind of it. So I wound up going with a friend randomly to Comic-Con, like, kind of like a little bit gun to the heady. And I was like...
Gun to the heady?
Yeah, kind of like... Okay. I got a lot going on. This is how I'm spending my Saturday.
Right.
So I wound up going, and I got there and became completely fascinated. We wound up spending the night, staying. I'm like, we should come back tomorrow. And, like, the next thing I know, they're like, what are you doing? And I just sat there, and I was taking notes the whole time. And I'm like, there's a show in this. Because when you think about the geek world and you think about that, anytime I've ever seen a geek show on TV, it's not so much been embraced and celebrated as it's been, like, pummeled and knocked
right,
down.
Right, right.
By the way, I never missed an episode, but that being said, like, I was like, I feel like this is a world that everyone is kind of like, it's now kind of the new cool kids in school.
Absolutely.
Were you surprised by how unbelievably, I was surprised by how unbelievably non-judgmental these people were. People who have been judged their whole lives, this is their chance to kind of turn it around on, quote, normal people. And they don't. They're just super happy to be there. Super excited about the experience. Hey, welcome everybody.
They are.
It's amazing.
They were totally embracing. And even like sometimes I would say stuff and I could tell they were looking at me like, oh, look at her. She's so cute thinking she knows what's happening. But like there was so many things where like I would say, okay, here's what we're going to do today. Not realizing how big of a deal it was.
Yeah.
I'm like, so here's what's going down. We're going to go here. You're going to find out your next assignment. And like you go through the emotions, and then the next thing you know, they're like crying and they're like, you have no idea what's going on, like how big
so,
this is.
The premise of Fangasm on the Sci-Fi Channel is you have six, I guess you call them interns, and they are working for Stan Lee, basically, who's the creator of, you know, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four and everything. I mean, he's Mr. Comic Book. So they're working for him and you send them on little missions, and their treats along the way are they get to meet some of their geek idols, right? You introduce us to this cat. Well, first of all, why don't you tell people about who's living in the house? Who are the geeks that you put together? Because let's face it, as you know from all the reality shows you've done, Sally Ann, casting is everything.
You know, it is true. I will tell you that there are seven of them in the house, and I kind of dig it, and it was interesting for me. So many of them wound up being from New York, you know, which I thought was, like, interesting.
Odd.
Yeah, it was, but it's also, like, that mecca, and I feel like... You know, anytime you get reality show contestants from the East Coast, I just always find them to be so authentic because I think it's like how we were all raised where our parents were just like, you know, dancing. They had like sugar plums dancing in their eyes. Like, look at my kid. Isn't she so cute? Like on the East Coast, parents are warped and encourage their kids to do things even if you shouldn't.
Right.
So I feel like people always have a false sense of security from the East Coast. Like, we're so pretty and smart when in reality, it's like, sit down and shut up. And I got to tell you, I fell in love with them. There was a guy named Sal, who's one of the first people that we met, curly hair. And like, he's just this guy where it's funny. Like when you think of geeks, you think of people in high school that didn't have game. And
right.
Then as I talk to these guys, I'm like, they're all pulling tail. They're all hanging out. They
all
like,
of them?
Yes.
Really?
I will tell you, they are all getting way more action than most people I know.
Wow.
Not Andrew, though.
Andrew, wait a minute. It's about, like, Andrew has this girlfriend, and we were all like, at one point, we thought she was like Snuffleupagus. Well, like, this can't be possible. And I got to tell you, the more time you spend with Andrew, Andrew is the lovable guy. And, like, his sense of humor is infectious. When that guy laughs, tonight's episode, he goes on this laughing tear out of nowhere, where, like, even in the edit bay, we all had tears coming down our face. He's just such a pure guy.
Let me play this piece of tape from episode 1, Sally Ann. And Kevin, I want you to hear this, and I want you to source whether Sally Ann is telling us the truth. Does
right.
this guy pull mad tail? Here's Andrew.
Right. Captain's log, Stardate 2.674677.
Have you already made up your mind, by the way?
Please.
I'm a huge fan of Star Trek, and when I was a kid, I used to pray to God every night. I was like, God, please make me the captain of the Enterprise. That's all I ever wanted.
Warp speed 10. Ah!
So I'm 27 now and I work for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Got it wrong, God. Captain of the Enterprise.
That guy is pulling the ladies.
No.
I gotta tell you, they are.
He has a girlfriend, you said.
He has a girlfriend.
Okay, that's different than pulling a lot of tail.
But the other guys kind of do, and they have game. And the thing is, these girls, they all these cosplay outfits and stuff.
Sure.
Like, it's like kind of gives you a little bit of permission to, like, not be you. Who, me? That wasn't me, Sally, yeah. And that was my alter ego that was out swinging from the chandelier. So I feel like, in a way, like, you kind of, they embrace it and take it to a whole other level.
All right, I'm going to admit something here. This is going to be very difficult for me to say.
You admit it, then we have to take a break, and then we'll come back and explain it.
I tuned in to episode one of Fangasm on the Sci-Fi Channel. And something that happened with Andrew made me tear up like a little girl.
I can't believe it.
And Bean's tear ducts have been closed and dusted over for like 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how you get him out of bed in the morning, Kevin. I know. He's crying. And...
Yeah.
I've dried. All of my fluids have dried up. I got nothing. I'll tell you what happened, and we'll find out more about this season of Fangasm with our friend Sally Ann Salsano when we return on the Kevin Beach podcast.
Sally Ann Salsano is in the studio with us. She, of course, the creator of Jersey Shore, among other things.
Well, Double Shot at Love, Shot of Love with Tila Tequila, Tool Academy, all of our favorites come out of the brilliant mind of Sally Ann.
I'm running for office.
Did you just tell us, by the way, and we'll get back to our story about Fangasm, did you just tell us that 700 hours of reality show TV is what you then narrow down into 1 hour that we actually see?
That's what we did for Jersey. Jersey was 700-1. This one's probably about 400-1.
700 hours. You would edit that down to 1 hour. Mm-hmm.
Because you
by the way, a lot of times there's nothing going on in that hour.
You have to imagine the
what you cut out.
Yeah, you know what it is too. I think it's a way to get like the best. I think that was one of the things about Jersey is I did not know how to make a docuseries. Never did one before.
Right.
Like never worked on one. So I was so afraid of getting it wrong that I was like, I don't know. I guess if we put cameras everywhere and roll on them, we'll catch everything. And that's kind of how that look of the show came about. That's how we caught like the stuff falling out of the fridge and people falling down the stairs. It's because we shot all the time.
Amazing.
So it was literally out of like not knowing how to do anything that by default we caught everything on tape.
Wow.
Well, we want you to tell us about the new show that you've just finished filming in a minute, but let's go back to Fangasm.
Okay.
Because when we took a break, I was telling you how I ended up crying like a little girl watching episode one.
I love that.
So one of the
understand being like when his mom died, not a tear.
Well, this is different, Dean. This is a very emotional person.
This is a person who does not get emotional about people.
So one of the perks for these kids, these geeks on this show that we're talking about called Fangasm, which airs another new episode tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel at 10 o'clock.
No, 11 p.m.
I'm sorry. They gave me the wrong info. So they get to meet George Takei, Kevin. Now, George Takei, we love George Takei.
Of course.
He's a fun guy. He's a fascinating guy. He's got a great personality. He's hilarious. He's an icon from, you know, Sulu on Star Trek. We don't love George Takei compared to the way these kids love George Takei.
No, of course not.
So the kid, Andrew, that we were just playing, who is obsessed with Star Trek, grew up with Star Trek. Well, Sally Ann, why don't you describe what his reaction was like when he comes face to face with George Takei?
Well, I got to tell you, I don't even think we expected it. Like when, you know, they were sitting at dinner. So the basis was there was this contest. It was an endurance contest. One person won and they got a dinner with George Takei. So they're sitting there having the dinner and he's like, my roommates would love to meet you. And George, out of unbeknownst to us, could not have been cooler. He's like, well, how far away do you live from here? We're like, really? So all of a sudden we're like, holy. You know, we're like trying to get the cameras. We're like crazy. So we're like, if this guy's down, let's do it. We brought George Takei back to the house to surprise the roommates. And I don't think any of us expected the reaction we got. But Andrew was so taken back. First of all, it was like an old grandmother came in and he like grabbed his cheeks almost like, aren't you so cute? And I was like, George Takei is going to murder us.
Couldn't talk. He was just completely speechless because he was in front of his hero.
Correct. And like it at that place for me is when I was like, okay, I get this. Like it was like the first couple nights
not
of the
until
show.
Then?
Yeah, and I still don't really know. But like it was at that moment where I'm like, this is such a big deal, and we're literally looking at these kids' lives and all the stuff that they thought was unreachable is now happening. And something clicked inside of them.
Yes, absolutely. And then he tells a story, Kevin. He's sitting there on the couch, and he now all of a sudden is bonding with these fellow geeks in the house who have become his best friends ever, right? He's sitting there and he's like, when I was a little kid, I was closest to my great grandmother. And we used to watch Star Trek together every day. And she didn't even like Star Trek, but she loved me so much that she used to watch Star Trek with me. And then right before she died, she said that was her favorite memory of her life, was being able to watch Star Trek with me. That's how emotional he got about Star Trek. And George Takei was his great-grandmother's favorite character on the show. And there he is in his living room. And you just, I mean, I...
Did George Takei say, what's wrong with your grandmother?
There must not have been a dry eye in the house, though, even with the people behind the cameras, right, Sally Ann?
I imagine. That night on set, everyone was so emotional and crying. And then, like, after that, I also think it energized the kids. You know, because I think the cast of the show, like, we met them. And, like, the biggest thing in reality TV is almost always trust. Like, forget about having a good cast. Sure, that's, like, duh. But, like, you need to trust your cast, and your cast needs to trust you. And it was interesting. After that moment, I think they were like, okay, we're in. Whatever these people tell us to do, we're going to do. Because, you know, they were working with Regina from Kamikaze, and, like, they're prepping for this big event. And there's a lot of, like, boring work that went into it.
Right.
And I think now they were like, oh, this is how life is. You have the bad work, and then you have the good days at work. And I think for them, it, like, made it better.
Well, Stan Lee is obviously going to appear on the show. Elvira is on an episode of the show.
Stan Lee's episode's on tonight.
That's tonight at 11. Great.
It is so crazy because the kids get to pitch Stan Lee, their idea for a comic book character.
Oh, my God.
And their idea. So it's literally for them like pitching Jesus. So watching these kids get ready and like the debate of like, should I wear this costume or not? And I'm like, it's so funny. Like that would never enter into my mind. And that's kind of the thing. I was like, the biggest day of my life normally doesn't involve pink spandex.
Right.
In this case, it does, and it makes total sense.
Sally Ann, as we mentioned, is the CEO of 495 Production. She's always got she's spinning plates. She's always got shows on the air and shows in production. You just finished filming one in the deep, deep South, Sally Ann, that sounds like it legitimately scared you about the future of humanity.
It did, I will tell. Yeah, we just finished shooting one for CMT called Party Down South, and I will tell you, it definitely gave me a run for my money. Like, when I did Jersey Shore, I always said, like, I walk amongst my people.
Right.
I felt like one of them. In this case, I'm like, who are these people? I'm walking with them. but I would say it's definitely a roller coaster ride.
What was the biggest shock?
I think the biggest shock for me...
How much they can drink?
I think how much they can drink and for how long. Like, I've never seen stamina like this. Like, it's almost to be applauded. I couldn't frown upon it. I was like, you go. Like, I know I would be in an alley somewhere. And we're doing Snooki J-Wow premieres again coming up soon, October 22nd, which is exciting. They're back and they're older. So everyone likes to say they're more mature. And as Snooki said the other day, she's like, I mean, I'm older. I don't know that I'm more mature.
You talk to Snooki a lot?
I love those kids.
I know. Do you talk?
Her and Jenny were in town last week because we shot a little bit of a special. And, like, it's amazing. It was just one of those days where, like, when you don't see them for a while because now we're, like, not shooting Jersey. We're shooting their show.
Right.
It's, like, in between when you see them, it is like your little cousins or your little sisters, like, coming to visit. Like, they came in. Snooki's in my office. She's like, do you mind if I draw on the walls? I'm like, that's a weird thing. And before I could answer, they're Sharpie to the wall in my office. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
And she's doing so good on Dancing with the Stars. I'm like a little bit of a proud mama watching her do it. Like, we're all out there voting. Like, it's good.
Sally Ann, I have a question for you. It used to be back in the earlier days of reality TV that once your show ended, it wasn't on the air anymore, you went back to your regular life. It doesn't seem like that's the case anymore. Once you're on a reality show now, if it's big enough, you're famous forever, and it seems like you now have a career in show business. Is that what the case is going to be with your Jersey Shore cast? Are we never going to get rid of them?
I hope so. I mean, listen, from your mouth to God's
ears.
Well,
some of them have a lesser, you know, lesser career.
And a lot of them, I think, by choice. Well, like, oh God, right? I think some of them came in and like most people don't know what's involved. And then all of a sudden you're on this huge show and then they're like, what just happened to me?
Right.
You know, that was 4 years of my life. That's gone. But I also think there are shows right now that are literally set up for ex-reality contestants. It's like when you think about like The Apprentice and Dancing with the Star and, you know, a lot of stuff that you're doing, I dare you to find 50% of that cast is from some kind of reality show somewhere.
But I mean, like people like Omarosa, we need to be able to get rid of at some point. There needs to be an expiration date on some of these people, but they don't seem to ever go away.
Because what are they going to do?
Because we all keep watching them.
Yeah.
By the way, it's our fault, and like I stand by it. I will watch people do anything. The other day I went to an open house, and Josh Altman was there. I didn't even want to buy that house. I was like, I was in that house for 45 minutes walking around. Like, why is it? And in a suit. Is his brother coming? What's happening? Is Josh Flagg showing up? Like, I'm like a crazy person.
You are like a crazy person.
Well, we've known that. We've known that for a long time. All right, so Fangasm airs again tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel at 11 o'clock. It's awesome, people. Seriously, check it out. And the new shows that you talked about, when are they going to be debuting for us?
We have Snooki J-Wow on October 22nd. Mm-hmm. We have Tattoo After Dark, which is so wrong it's right.
Tattoo After Dark?
Yeah, it's okay. Like, you know, the lights go down, the freaks come out.
Right.
The requests, I would say, once the sun go down, get a little weirder. We'll tattoo anyone anywhere.
When does We Can't Believe the People from the South Can Drink That Much? When does that come on?
That's going to come on in the new year, in new January, year. Okay. But we're not sure exactly when yet.
Okay. Sally, you're a miracle. You're a miracle. You're a marvel. We love you so much. Thanks for coming into the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for having me. Just want to help the kids.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Chester Bennington is going to be in with Stone Temple Pilots. They're going to be performing together in the 9 o'clock hour this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And coming up next, right after the top of the hour, we welcome Laura Wasser to the show. She is the go-to divorce attorney in Hollywood. Kim Kardashian, Stevie Wonder, Britney Spears. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on of the people who've used her. And she has written a book, apparently, to help us all get divorced, too. So that's what's going to happen. Apparently, that's where we're all headed.
I wonder if Chloe's going to use her. Kim used her. Maybe she's going to recommend her to Chloe.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I guess we'll find out. Anyway, that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll have some time for your phone calls for Laura as well. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday. That means it's new release day. Here's what's available for your entertainment dollar. CDs today. High Rise. The EP by Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington will be joining us in just mere moments. Bangers by Miley Cyrus.
That's pretty cool.
Bangers with a Z.
Yeah, that's how Whoa. Crazy she is.
Whoa.
She is off the chain. You can't keep her just with your boring spelling. She spells extreme.
Look, we all know that's how things are cool, is if they're spelled wrong. We know that, guys.
We have been told that by someone we work
Bean,
with.
Bean earlier today just mentioned how he so passionately can't wait to get this new Miley Cyrus album. Is there no amount of douchebaggery that will sway you from picking up an artist's record? Do you not factor that in at all? You don't give a rat's ass? It's just,
hear
it's
my
just
whole
music?
Thing. I'm able to separate the personality from the art, just like I can see a movie of an actor that I don't like personally if he's a good actor. It's the same way with music.
But Miley an actor Cyrus is playing a different person. An actor right. is assuming a different personality. You know, a writer has written a character for them. This is right. Miley Cyrus.
Right, and I am as annoyed as you guys are by many of the things that she says and does.
Oh, I don't think so.
But when it comes to the music, she's able to lay down songs that I love. And that's why
I'm only annoyed that she isn't hot. I want her to be hot. And then it's all forgiven.
But even a hot girl can't get away with that behavior.
Yeah, for me.
I'm not vouching for her behavior. I'm telling you, I like her music.
But it's
and
part
that's,
and parcel.
That's what
it's
buying
all,
the record
it's all one
is
one package.
I can separate the two.
But she can't.
Right. That's her problem, not mine.
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way. Thank you. At least you admit that. Bitter Rivals by Sleigh Bells. Melophobia by Cage the Elephant. Ponder the Mystery by William Shatner. Heard some of that.
Real good.
I'm sorry some of those tracks aren't going to be on the album. That sounded good to me.
Oh, Glove Compartment, man. I wish I could own that.
Paradigm Shift by Korn. Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die by Panic! At the Disco. DVDs and TV shows on DVD available today. Hangover Part 3. If you missed it in theaters, now you can miss it on DVD. After Earth, starring Jaden Smith. Oh, it's a good day. The Purge! Nothing but classics today coming out on DVD. Much Ado About Nothing. This is the Shakespearean project from our buddy Joss Whedon, starring Nathan Fillion, Alexis Denisoff, and Clark Gregg. TV shows on DVD available. American Horror Story Asylum, if you missed that last season.
So good.
Pick that scary stuff up. Psych, complete 7th season. Bones, complete 8th season. White Collar, season 4. And Robot Chicken, season 6. All available for you to pick up today on New Release Tuesday.
American Horror Story comes back tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Coven.
I wish it was American Horror Story.
Can't
see some American whores in that story. Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Do What Diddy Combs. Sure, he's got 5 children with 3 different women, but he's not ready to settle down.
No.
He told the ladies on The View, by the way, if you're Diddy and you're on The View, then boom, you're done. F you.
The View's the end of it all?
Yeah. How do you want to hold on to any cred and be on The View, you sellout douchebag?
Maybe he was impregnating them.
I was at a
I think they're all well past the age of being impregnated.
I was at a Super Bowl party one time, and Bill O'Reilly walked in. And I was like, that's how you know it's time to go.
The party's over when Bill O'Reilly's there.
Now I got to go somewhere else. It's the same way with this. He said it would be a dream come true to be married if he was ever ready. But he said he's smart enough to know that marriage comes with a lot of responsibility.
Oh, you're a genius, Diddy. How about knocking up three different chicks with five different kids? Does that come with a lot of responsibility? You're able to just walk out on that and do whatever you want to do.
I think you probably can just write a check. Would be my guess.
A check can't push a kid on the swings, Kevin.
I hear you, man.
I hear you. He says he'd rather focus on happiness than commitment. Oh, enjoy that, Kim.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Because Kanye's going to walk the same path, so everyone needs to get ready. He says it's important to love yourself first and foremost.
Oh.
Well, I think he's got that handled. I think he's got that one mastered.
Check that one off the list.
He's got it.
Pretty deep interview. What's Diddy on promoting, by the way? What do you think he's on The View for?
Oh, I have no idea. But it's good times.
He's promoting Diddy.
Yeah.
The Diddy brand?
Mm-hmm. Probably got some new bottled water or something.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Paul Hogan. He was Crocodile Dundee. Back in the day.
Did he ever do anything else, Ralph?
I don't believe so. He may have had other roles in Australia before he became a big star here in the States with that character, but I don't remember him doing anything else.
Open up a blog.
I guess there was a way you could research that, I guess. Jesse Jackson, 72 years old. Chevy Chase is 70. Sigourney Weaver celebrates her 64th birthday. Matt Damon's 43. Nick Cannon is 33. Travis Pastrana celebrates his 30th birthday. Bruno Mars turns 28. And Angus T. Jones, at one point, one of the highest paid actors on television.
Yeah.
One of the stars of Two and a Half Men.
Then he said, you know the show that I'm making all this money on? It blows. You shouldn't watch.
It's Satan's show. I hate it. I'm on it. You shouldn't watch it. It's Satan's show. Well, so now he's selling Bibles for $4.95 while I was speak, so it all worked out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
The go-to divorce attorney in Southern California for a long, long time is a woman named Laura Wasser. I knew one day I would be having a conversation with her. I just didn't know it was going to be on the radio. Please welcome Laura to the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Laura.
Hey,
how are you?
Good, thank you.
Welcome to a whole room full of divorced people. I wish we'd known you.
True.
Back when we needed you. How are you?
I'm really well, thanks. This has kind of been an exciting time.
Laura was telling us that she grew up listening to K-Rock, so... It's great to finally have you here. Is this your first time ever on the station?
Oh, yeah. This is my first time ever on the station. And like I said, I've been listening to you guys since I started liking music.
So what happened to Richard Blade? Do you know?
Yeah. He's on one of the Sirius stations. He's actually living in my back house right now.
Is that right? Wow. So you know a lot of inside dirt, and we guess about a lot of inside dirt.
Yeah. I hear you guys guessing on the radio.
What percentage of the time would you say we are wrong?
Oh, 75. Yeah.
But that's of every topic.
That is with every topic. That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's it – I mean, we have so many questions for you, and we are going to include calls from the listeners later on this hour on the Kevin DeBean Show. But what's it like for you as someone who's listening to the radio, and when there's a high-profile separation or divorce or lawsuit in the news and you have insider information, I mean, do you just laugh or do you shake your head and you weep when you hear us speculating? For instance, I'll just throw one example out there. When Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries tried to dissolve their marriage after a very brief time, and there was so much speculation about why and how long it took and everything like that, you were in the center of that. You knew the deal on that, but you heard everybody speculating all around the globe, right?
Yeah, and you really do. You just kind of shake your head and think, oh boy, you know, you really can't believe everything you read or everything you hear.
Or do you think, if they only knew?
Yeah, that was my other question. Is it worse than we know?
No, most of the time it's way more boring than whatever's being reported. Yeah.
We admit up front that we're just guessing, and we want to believe.
Now, I know you've been a divorce attorney for how long, Laura?
Just about 20 years now. I've been doing
20
this.
Years,
yes.
And you kind of grew up in the business because your dad also a very successful divorce attorney.
Yes.
Is it ever a depressing field to be in because you're dealing with so many people at a vulnerable and sad time in their lives?
No, because I really feel like by the time they get to me, they already know that they kind of need to move on to the next step. And so I'm trying to help them get there. I think if I was a marriage counselor, I'd be depressed. But I'm here to kind of help people move on. And the folks in my firm, our belief is that in this century, divorce doesn't necessarily need to be a failure. It's happening so often. We don't you know, we're not divorce mongers. We're not happy about it. But once you have something that's broken in your marriage, you come to us to try to fix whatever the situation is and get you to the next phase. And so it's not depressing. It's somewhat inspiring if we can actually help. It can be frustrating because people mm-hmm. often don't do it the right way. And that's why I wrote the book.
The book is called It Doesn't Have to Be That Way.
Yes.
And what's the biggest mistake that people make, the one big thing?
Just letting their emotions get in the way of what is really a business transaction. And
oh, no, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what I was going to call the book was Not Your Parents' Divorce, because it really is for kind of the next generation. And we've been given, just as a result of history, the tools. We have the internet. We have support groups. We have therapy. We have all kinds of ways to figure out the situation that we're in and to go sit down in a lawyer's office and to be paying him or her hundreds of dollars per hour to kind of get into a pissing contest with somebody else doesn't make any sense. You should be the master of your own destiny. Yes, it's true that you can have a professional kind of help you get through it, but you really need to be able to sit down with a person to whom you once, you know, loved and more than anyone else in the world made these vows. And if it's not somebody you were married to, but you just had a kid with, well, you loved him for a little bit.
Right.
So
at least 15 seconds.
Exactly. And to really sit down with them and say, what is it that you want? What is it that you need? Here's what I want. Here's what I need. And do it in a way that makes sense rather than letting somebody else profit off of your misery.
Now, forgive me for asking it this way, but you sort of profit off other people's misery.
Yeah.
Oh, odd.
And
that
I do.
You would write this book.
And I, well, look, here's the thing. I've got plenty of clients, and I am not worried about business drying up. People need help. What bugs me and why I wrote the book is that I have other colleagues, not a lot of them, but I know that there's people around the country that are kind of churning these cases because of the economic climate. And I say to people all the time, what is this, your last case? Let's get it done and get other people. I have more referrals from people who go, oh my God, she was so cool. She got me through this miserable time. She actually sent me some of my retainer back. I mean, that is good business.
Interesting.
You have a story in the book about a woman who came to you who was thinking of divorcing, and you had a conversation with her in the office, and she decided not to. She came back a year later, and you had the same conversation. Then a third year, then a fourth year. And then by the fifth year, she was ready to actually pull the trigger. I guess I set that up by asking this question. Do most people quit too early, give up on the marriage too early without taking the time to really either work it through or make sure that it's dead?
I don't think so. I really do. I think that there have been people that have filed kind of as a wake-up call, and then they're kind of halfway into it, and they go, whoa, 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 what did I do? But for the most part, I really do believe that people give it their best shot because it is such a profound decision to make. So
right.
I do think that people really try. I almost won't even represent somebody unless I know that they've been to therapy or that they've had a conversation. You don't divorce on a whim. It's too expensive. Even just filing the initial paperwork, forget a lawyer, is now up to nearly $400. In LA. So it's just like you really have to be sure you want to do this because it does rock everybody's world.
How many people do you turn away and say, go work on this some more?
Well, I turn more people away for other reasons than that. But, you know, I'll say, I think there's something else here. Why don't you go try it out? Come back. I'm not going anywhere. And let's see. Because there's, you know, I don't want to waste anybody's time or my time. And
what are the other reasons?
If somebody comes in and they just have really unrealistic expectations, I mean, there's plenty of people that will represent you if you say, I don't want my husband to have any custody of our kids, or I want everything,
right.
Or I'm not willing to pay any child support. I'm moving to Guam. Those are the kind of things where I'll say, well, here's the law. And, you know, in California, we kind of start out with a joint custody presumption or, yeah, you are paying support. And if someone's just going to blow sunshine, go talk to that person and pay them. But for me, I want to know that somebody really is going to do it the way I like to do it.
And they have realistic expectations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is the voice of attorney Laura Wasser here on the Kevin Amin Show. Her book is out now called It Doesn't Have to Be That Way, How to Divorce Without Destroying Your Family or Bankrupting Yourself. And we're going to be taking your phone calls on the topic in just a few minutes here. Do you think the laws, especially in the state of California, Laura, where you practice, are fair to the parties that are divorcing?
It depends. I think for the most part, they're fair. I think to cover the majority of the people that live in the state, they're fair. Obviously, there will be permutations and situations where it doesn't seem fair. But it is what it is. And that's another thing that I talk about in the book is know what you're getting into when you get married. When you get married, you're entering into a contract, and that contract is I'm going to support you. If we split up, I'm going to continue to support you in the lifestyle to which you become accustomed. So is it fair? I don't know if it's fair, but you knew about that getting in. And if you get married and you're married to someone for 5 years and she's lying on the couch eating bonbons and you're out there, you know, writing and recording and touring, and then you come back and you find out that she's been sleeping with the pool guy, you're still paying spousal support. So it may not be fair, but you did know about it when you got into the relationship that that was the deal.
As the likely breadwinner in a relationship that you were in as a successful, high-profile, wealthy person, is that why you've never gotten married, Laura?
No, that's not why. I actually have gotten married. I was married
in
93 when I was like 25 for about 15 seconds.
All right. And well, you gave it a good shot. I mean, you really put your all into it, so that's good.
It was a beautiful wedding. It was a really good party. And he and I are actually still friends. He doesn't live here anymore. He lives in Texas.
All right, hold up. How long was it for real?
It was about 14 months.
Really?
Yeah. And we were babies. We just, you know, and it's funny because when I said I was getting married, both of my parents kind of shook their heads and said, okay, we're here. We'll support you. And then when I went in to tell them, it was the summer after I graduated from law school, and I went in to my dad's office with my mom, and I was waiting for my results for the bar exam. And I said, so, you know, it didn't really work out. And my dad goes, I told you once, and I'll tell you again, it's no problem, fully support you, but I'm only paying for one wedding. So that's the reason I never got married.
Okay. Okay.
Couldn't get somebody to put the bill for the wedding.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Well, would you mind, Laura, if we open up the phones for our listeners? Because very rarely are they going to have access to a divorce attorney, you know, with your reputation and your experience. And I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of questions.
Not
would
at all.
Okay,
go for it. Yes.
Okay. So if you have a question for Laura Wasser, 1-800-520-1067. If you've got some questions about how divorce works, particularly in the state of California, how it works with the kids, with the splitting up the property, with the advice on how to proceed, I mean – it's not binding or anything. You should consult your own attorney, right, Laura?
Yes, please.
Don't take anything you hear on the Kevin and Bean Show ever for reals, all right? But if you want to talk to Laura, we'd love to let you. 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to ask a divorce attorney when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show on camera. And you picked a great day to tune in because Tuesdays, of course, are book club Tuesdays here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And today we're talking about a fascinating new volume called It Doesn't Have to Be That Way, How to Divorce Without Destroying Your Family or Bankrupting Yourself. Attorney and author Laura Wasser is in studio. Can I just fake my own death? Isn't that the way out, Laura? Really?
Absolutely. But you'd miss out on so much afterwards.
No, not being.
I have a feeling you've actually been asked that question before. I bet people have actually considered that to get out of paying alimony, haven't they?
Can I just disappear? Yeah, sure. They want to start a new life. I'm like, yeah, but you got to make sure nobody knows it's you.
Who's your worst celebrity client? Go.
No. I reject you totally.
Not the first time I've heard that.
1-800-520-1067. It's your turn to ask a divorce attorney.
So I'm going to be a divorcee. So they're trying to take me for all my money. They try to shut me down, take my TV. So can I ask a divorce attorney? So this is a show with K&B. Can I get a divorce?
All right, thank you, Omar. 1-800-520-1067. We've got two segments of phone calls today, so we'll get in as many as we can. And let's start with Karen. She brings up an interesting question. She's on line 8, and she gets us going with Laura Wasser on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
What's your question, Karen?
Okay, so I'm considering divorce, and I've always made almost double what my husband makes,
mm-hmm.
and it's not a lot for us to survive alone, but I'm wondering, will I automatically have to pay him because I make more?
Likely, yes. I mean, if you can come up with some kind of a settlement proposal that has him, you know, not necessarily getting support, maybe you give him more of the stuff, maybe you just shame him so that he doesn't want to take the support. It doesn't, you know, people always say to me, well, am I going to have to? There's no divorce police that come and enforce the law. One of the things in my book is think outside of the box. If you really can come up with something that you know is important to your ex, and you can trade that for a monthly check writing experience, that's something to consider.
I mean, what? What would be something like that?
I don't know.
Pet?
If they live in a pet, exactly. Bean chimes in there with the pet. I mean, but you
know. Not that I've thought this through. Not that this has been on my mind.
But maybe you guys live in an apartment and it's a really awesome apartment and it's rent control and he'd like to be able to keep the lease in his name and he wouldn't otherwise be able to. And you say to him, look, if I don't have to pay you support, I'll give you a little bit extra of the money in our bank accounts and you keep the lease. And maybe that would be something that he would, you know, accept so that you don't have to write that check. Also, I do a lot of support buyouts. You figure out what the support term would be. You reduce it for taxes and you make one lump sum and that kind of frees you up. You don't have the albatross around your neck of writing that check every month.
Oh, that's a great idea. In other words, one-time payment and then you're just done with it.
Yeah. And again, a lot of people can't afford to do that, but if you could... That's a night. Now, one thing is you take a risk. What if 2 months later he goes and gets married? So now he's reaped the benefits of the full support term.
Interesting.
Because once you remarry, support ends. You could also just try to find some other rich gal for him to hook up with, and that might solve all your problems.
Even better. There you go, Karen. Thank you.
Karen, thank you for the call. Hey, Laura, sometimes does the spouse who's receiving the alimony say, no, I don't need that much. I'll take less?
Yes, absolutely. It happens all the time.
Seriously,
and
though.
Interestingly, no, it really does. Interestingly, it happens more with men than with women. I think sometimes men are like, I feel terrible. I thought when we entered into this relationship, I'd be able to be supporting you or making more. And again, I don't judge, but it is interesting to see that happens because the law is very gender neutral. If you're, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. If you have been the breadwinner, you're going to be paying support.
Right.
That's the Roseanne law, they call that, right?
Yes.
Let's take one more before the break. This is another great call. This is going to be Frankie. He is on line 7. It's Ask a Divorce Attorney on the Kevin Beach Show.
This is Ask a Divorce Attorney.
Attorney and author Laura Wasser on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, Frankie. You're up.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning, Laura.
Hi there.
Hey, quick question. If somebody abandons the relationship, they, you know, they've been married for several years or whatnot, and they take off because of a cheating spouse, do they lose any interest or any of the value in the houses they own and cars they own and stuff like that?
No. California is a no-fault state, so you can take off, you can be sleeping with someone else, you can do terrible things. Short of actual physical domestic violence, none of the bad acts, so to speak, that one or the other party will do will affect your divorce outcome.
And that's no time limit on that?
Correct. Are you thinking? Okay, are you thinking about something, Frankie?
Yeah, what's happening?
Where are you on your way to?
You have a specific something in mind, right?
No, actually, I was just wondering because the situation is my sister-in-law, she left her husband about a year and a half ago, and she's afraid that if she files for divorce, that she's not going to get any interest in the home that they purchased.
Nope. No fault state. It's
okay.
A beautiful thing.
Give her the good news. Thank you for the call, Frankie. By the way, Laura, I thought it was fascinating in your book. You talk about the no-fault state, and in some states, that's even fairly recent in the United States. You said New York didn't adopt that till 2010, which just shocked me. But it used to be you had to prove to a judge why there was a reason you would get a divorce, right?
Yes. I mean, can you imagine that in this day and age of digital? I mean, just the way that people would be photoshopping things in. But if you think about, like, the old, you know, L.A. Confidential, when they spring into the hotel room with the flashbulbs and all that, and people are holding the covers up to their chest, it's way too much of an evidentiary burden to be able to prove that now. And so, again, it doesn't have to be that way. There's no reason to air all of your grievances in court because judges don't care. It's a no-fault state.
Are judges miserable?
Family law judges are amazing human beings.
Right,
the amount of crap that they hear. No, they're not miserable.
No, but that's why I asked the amount of crap that they hear.
But it's the same question you guys asked me. I really do think that they believe that they're helping and they're kind of cutting to the core and getting through it. I know that the way things are right now in almost every state, particularly in California with our funding, they just don't have time. They've cut our court staff. They've cut departments. So there's so many people that are in there that are representing themselves. There's all kinds of, you know, foreign language interpreters. It's just a complete crazy house down there. And they really, really want to move through it because if you've waited for 6 months to get your court date, you've taken the day off work, you want your time.
Right, right. The book is fascinating, by the way, and a useful primer if you've been thinking thoughts of divorce. It doesn't have to be that way. How to Divorce without Destroying Your Family or Bankrupting Yourself, author Laura Wasser in studio. We have time for one more segment of your phone calls as we ask a divorce attorney next.
This is Ask a Divorce Attorney.
Oh, God.
Next.
We are doing Ask a Divorce Attorney.
So I'm going to be a divorcee, so they're trying to take me for all my money. They try to shut me down, take my TV, so can I ask a divorce attorney? So this is a show
in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is the author of a new book called It Doesn't Have to Be That Way, How to Divorce Without Destroying Your Family or Bankrupting Yourself. By the way, ex-client Chester Bennington, along with STP, Chester's in the other room. If he owes you money or anything, Laura, you want to run in there and collect.
No, we're good.
You guys are all settled up?
Yes.
All right, let's squeeze in a few more phone calls for Laura here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How much would one of these phone calls cost if they weren't getting it for free on the radio?
Like,
what would you be charging for one question from the general public?
It's not the question. It's the answer, Bean. Yeah.
So like $1 million?
Yeah, $1 million per answer.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot.
Get it while you can, folks.
$1 million value, Sarah. So don't screw up your question. You're on with Laura. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, Laura. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Okay. So I've been married for less than 70 days.
Okay.
And I wanted to know if it'd be easier or if it's even possible to get an annulment rather than go through the divorce process.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, tell us about annulments. I don't know too much about that.
Yes, big misconception about annulments. People think that if you've been married a short period of time, that automatically you get an annulment. Some people say, oh, it's less than a year. That is not the case. If you want an annulment, you have to show one of the grounds for annulment, which is fraud or inability to get married.
TV show.
Was no fraud there. Inability to get married because you're not mentally competent or you're too young. So it's not easy. It used to be back in the day that if you went to Vegas and you drank too much, you could get annulment because you would say you weren't of sound mind. Now our judges are like, yeah, no, not so much. Mm. When you get an annulment, it means the marriage never happened. That would mean there was no community property established during those 70 days you guys have been married, no support obligation established. Let's say you get married. You win the lottery 2 days later, and now you want to split up. Those lottery winnings are actually community property. So we can't – and how about all the wedding presents you got? So to actually say that there was no marriage, it never, ever happened, that's an annulment. And the state doesn't like to just erase the past like that. So there has to be like if you weren't really 18 when you got married – maybe you never consummated the marriage, or again, fraud. You married someone that you thought was a lovely young man, and he ended up being a woman. That's your problem.
Or she was just doing a reality TV show, and she needed a very special episode. Maybe
that
that's
wasn't
what was
fraud.
Happening.
Sarah, congratulations, though, on giving it that 70-day try.
All right, let's move on to Marlene. Oh, by the way, Ralph was asking earlier if Chloe is going to use you, since Kim did. Will Chloe contact you about Lamar?
Yeah, because I'm going to talk to you guys about that right on the radio.
That's good news. That's good news because we thought you would play that one close to the vest.
Let's talk to Marlene on line two. She has another excellent question as we ask a divorce attorney.
Hey, Marlene.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
My question is, let me first start off saying there is a criminal protective order against my husband right now that expires next year, August.
Okay.
So I'm saving up money for the divorce. And my question is, do I absolutely have to give him half of my retirement? It's not going to happen for years from now, but I'm earning a retirement to the state of California.
Right. And what was the criminal action that he's being?
He violated a restraining order.
Against you?
Against me, right.
Okay.
I mean, he was restrained from me, so he violated it.
Right. There are certain things, and again, I don't know enough about your case, but I love hearing that you're saving your money for your divorce. there are certain things that will come into play if there was domestic violence or there was a restraining order keeping him away from you and he violated it. I don't know exactly all the circumstances of your case. The retirement that you would have to be sharing with him is only the retirement that accrued during the time that you were married and before you guys separated. Are you separated now?
We're separated because of the restraining order.
Right. Okay.
But we're not legally separated.
Right. No. But you're separated.
So in other words,
enough.
She doesn't have to pay from her retirement for her whole career, just correct. Throughout whatever the number of years are that they were married.
Correct. And even then, based on this whole criminal stuff and the domestic violence, if there was domestic violence, and I'm guessing that a court found there was something, if they issued a restraining order, you may be able to get out of it.
Would it be possible to negotiate it, like, for possibly, hey, don't pay me child support, just don't take my retirement?
Well, child support's tough. That's tough because child support's not your right. It's your kid's right. So it's hard to kind of negotiate that away. But it would be something that I'd talk about. I just don't feel comfortable telling you on the air that you can give your kid's support away.
You can give it away, Marlene. Yeah, it sounds like you need to talk to another attorney who is privy to the specifics exactly of your case. But that's a good direction to head in. Thank you very much for the call, Marlene. We appreciate it. Let's go to Andrew. He's on line 8. He's got another interesting question for Laura Wasser. Again, the book is called It Doesn't Have to Be That Way, How to Divorce Without Destroying Your Family or Bankrupting Yourself. Hello, sir.
Hello. Good morning, Kevin Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I had a question about my mom's case. She actually got divorced last year. We lost the house. My brother's just turned 18, so they're no longer on child support. We're pretty much kind of screwed. Can I say that on the air?
Sure.
You already did, but go ahead.
yeah. We just want to know, is there a way to reopen a case to sort of figure out, hey, can we rework some stuff out? You know, we're living in my uncle's house, kind of crowded and jammed up in here. And we just
so you want to figure out a way to get more money out of the old man. That's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I guess. You know, the guy's a...
If you can put it in its worst...
Yeah.
No, but what I'm saying is, so Laura, he's saying he got a certain amount and plus child support was enough. Now there's no more child support. Now he's not making enough. Can you go back and revisit past agreements?
Well, it depends. Again, my guess is that at the time that this whole thing was resolved, there was a child support term and then there was also a spousal support term. Did the spousal support term already end, Andrew?
There is spousal support. It's very small. The thing is, they had the same attorney. It was kind of like a moderator.
A mediator.
I don't know why my mom...
A mediator, right.
Yeah, mediator. So they didn't, my mom should have gotten her own attorney. We all said this, but they decided they didn't want to make it a war. I think she should have. She had grounds to divorce, but she let him off easy, in my opinion. And now we want to know if we can, well, I don't even think she wants to know. I want to know if I can tell her she can.
Can Andrew go back in?
You can't go back
and
in.
And renegotiate.
But is this guy your dad?
Yeah.
Okay, what about having a conversation with him?
He was
your dad. Now he's not your dad anymore. He's dead to you. I would talk to him if I were you, and you may also want to put in a call to the mediator who's familiar with the facts of the case. I'm a big fan of mediation. I think it's much better to pay one person than pay two people. And your parents had the right idea about not making it a war. If things are tough right now for your mom, I would talk to the mediator and see if he or she has any good ideas, and then maybe I'd circle back around to your dad and say, look, as a result of the child support ending, we are really suffering right now. Can you help us? Also, okay. Do you have a job?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you're helping out,
is
too.
Is it playing video games?
I'm helping out. I'm okay. I'm more worried about my brothers. They just started college. You know, tuition's tough. It's just like we're all trying to there's eight of us living in the house. It's absolutely
whoa,
insane.
Wow. Well, some of them need to learn how to play basketball or something.
Anyone paying rent?
All right, we got to go. Andrew, we got to leave it there. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, Laura, you talk about, I was thinking about both sides maybe not having enough money to get by with a one income split. You talk about in the book, there are cases where you have had people who are getting divorced or even are divorced who are still living together. That happens, right?
It does happen. I mean, the way things are right now economically, people can't always afford to just sell their house and move out and get two smaller houses. I mean, the real estate market is coming back a little bit, but it's tough and people don't have the kind of money to make it a really great divorce situation. So again, if that happens to you, rather than embarking upon War of the Roses, sit down and come up with some really, really strong boundaries and rules for how it's going to be when you guys are both living there. It's doable. It's not ideal, but certainly if you have to do that and you do have kids living in the same house, come up with nights. This is my night. I'm making dinner. You go do something else on this night. I'm putting him to bed. I'm having my kid time. And if you really have the great communication that you could have, because this is a person that you're going to have to be dealing with in your face for a while, it's doable. And it's doable because it makes your kids healthier people. And it's also better for you. It's just less toxic. You don't get those frown lines around your face and you can actually go out and have, you know, another relationship at some point. Again, with the boundaries, you don't need the person sleeping over at the house with you. Figure it out. That's all this book is really saying is like, figure it out, make it so that it's okay.
Well, that's why I love the book, is it was really eye-opening because you do have a lot of suggestions on ways to think outside the box. I mean, you make the point in the first chapter, which is it's not like your parents' divorce. I mean, we have a lot different options, and we're trying a lot of different things now, and a lot of them are really good ideas that are working, and you really bring those to the forefront. So well done.
Sounds like Bean would like to retain you, if I could speak on his behalf.
That was for off the air, Kevin.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't have to be that way. How to Divorce Without Destroying Your Family or Bankrupting Yourself is the name of the book. It is in stores and available on Amazon and everywhere fine books are sold. Laura Wasser, our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks,
Laura. Thank you, guys. Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Look at those guys in the next room. We know those dudes.
Mm-hmm. The guitars, right? And the stuff and the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Chester Bennington and Stone Temple Pilots. New EP available for download today. They're going to be performing live for us, and we'll talk to the guys right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Is Justin Timberlake cheating on his wife, Jessica Biel?
Oh, I wish Laura Wasser were still here. I could get her to work. According to Star Magazine tabloid, The singer is rumored to have hooked up with a married Brazilian actress named Thelia Ayala.
I bet she's ugly.
I bet she's a pig. While he was in Brazil. Everyone's talking about it in Brasilia. He laughed the rumors off, but word is Jessica is not laughing so much. As curious and a wondering. Here's the thing. You could be married to Jessica Biel.
Right.
And then you're in Brazil. And then next thing you know, that girl comes along. You're like, yeah. What? That? I didn't know she was alive.
Wait, I didn't know that was an option.
It's hard, no man. Reflection on Jessica Biel. It's just that girl is that hot.
And she's brand new. Never saw her before.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that.
Eminem's daughter, Haley, was named homecoming queen of her high school on Friday. How cute is that? Who would have thought Eminem be sitting in the stands watching his daughter become homecoming queen?
Nobody.
At the high school football game in Clinton Township, Michigan.
Nobody. That's weird.
It's weird. But Eminem's 40. Haley's now 17. She's described by those who know her at the school as smart, athletic, and a caring young woman. Good for you, Marshall Mathers. You managed to raise a good one. Marshall decided to watch from a classroom in the school building so as not to take attention away from his daughter while she was having her big moment in the sun, which was very cool of him to do. But that's nice.
It is nice. Any word on whether the homecoming queen had a gun, Ralph?
I'm out of here.
Don't let him ruin it all.
Come on, Ralph.
You apologize, Bean.
That was a legit question.
You apologize to Ralph. You apologize to me, and more importantly, our audience.
Yes.
You apologize.
Somebody needs their ass kicked.
That is faux show. And that
was
sadly,
song by that singer.
We know what it was.
We know it was a song. What was her name? Julie
Brown.
Brown.
Yeah. F you, you effing bitch.
Wow. All right, back to you, Ralph.
I'm with Dr. Phil.
And Valerie Harper got voted off Dancing with the Stars last night.
That's not how it was supposed
she
to end.
So much. God's sakes.
Promise.
Poor woman's fighting brain cancer, and you're going to kick her off a freaking dance show?
We wanted her to win.
Yeah. Snooki's still on, but Valerie Harper gets to go. Where's your decency?
Oh, that's wrong.
Where is your decency, ABC?
I don't think they choose winners based on the
well, maybe
health.
They should have this time.
I swear to God, if she, God forbid, if she dies before the end of Dancing with the Stars, then it's that show that killed her.
That's right. I guess it's the asshole broadcasting company. That's what ABC stands for. Nice work. Meanies. And good news for Bryan Cranston. Here's the thing about becoming a huge star on television. You get to do pretty much anything you want to after your series goes off the air.
Right.
He decided to make his way back to the stage. New York Times reports he's making his debut on Broadway as President Lyndon Baines Johnson in a play called All the Way. It's a drama, as you can imagine, about the Kennedy assassination and then how Johnson's life literally changes in a heartbeat. When he becomes the president of the United States, it takes place through his first year in office. The play will end its sold-out run this Saturday in Cambridge, Mass., where it opened in previews, and then it's going to open on Broadway this winter. Everyone's saying it's going to be the toughest ticket in town to get because Cranston is such a big star. And if you plan on going, by the way, have dinner before the show. It runs more than 3 hours, they say.
Wow.
That is an evening at the theater.
3 hours?
Yeah. Kevin wasn't in before, but now he's definitely out.
Does it have LBJ talking to his tailor? Is that part of the show?
I don't know if they have that humorous clip about
now, me. Another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight.
I hope that's part of the show.
Totally forgot about that.
They'll be bringing up his nut size.
So, leave me. You never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper in. Ends under my back to my bunghole.
Right. Yeah.
It's a charming man.
Not back to the bunghole. You want to give a little more room. Respect the office.
I forgot how awesome that was.
Yeah. Well, good thing Bean held on to that tape since 1968.
I'm happy he did.
He had it at the ready.
That's spectacular.
Just in case we had any LBJ news we had to cover. He had that piece of tape ready. This is why the man can't clear out his DVR. This is why his DVR is all clogged up.
We're going to need you to help him later.
as well. We're going to need you to go through his DVR.
Didn't being a hoarder just pay off for this show?
Right there it did.
But it could have just as easily never have paid off. The odds were even money that we would never bring up LBJ.
But we did, and Bean got to play him using the word bunghole.
But how many clips are there that he has? That
That's a win for Bean.
Subjects that we will never talk about.
I'm sorry, this is a point for Bean. And you know how much I hate to say that.
I know, but still. Today's celebrity birthday is Paul Hogan. He was Crocodile Dundee, don't you know?
Yes, he was.
Did a little research since Bean quizzed me about his career.
Yes,
it turns out he had a very popular Paul Hogan show on Australia. It was a big TV show there.
Oh, no kidding.
That's what led him to do the Crocodile Dundee movies. Huge TV star. 74 years old today. Jesse Jackson, 72 years old. Chevy Chase turned 70. Sigourney Weaver, 64. Robert Cool Bell of Cool and the Gang is 63. Remember how I asked for the beer mug Cool tape?
Yeah, it went well, I think, if I remember correctly.
It took us about 4 minutes for Bean to get that up.
LBJ, boom. It was right in his breast pocket there. LBJ was whipped out.
Matt Damon's 43 years old today. Nick Cannon's 33. Travis Pastrana.
I think it's Pastrana.
What?
Yeah.
I thought he made the sandwich. No.
No.
He's 30 years old today. Bruno Mars is 28, and Angus T. Jones celebrates his 20th birthday today. Boy, out of show business already at 20 years old. It's a rapid decline.
But probably has money for life.
I'm sure he does. He was well paid, unless he gave it all to that nutty churchy joint. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington. In the studios of the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now.
Hi, boys.
Hey.
Hello.
Sounded like that was going to be a question.
Nope, just announcing that the guys are here. We're very excited to see them. First time since the Wiener Roast. I know Eric is with you. He's in the other room because he hates us. But Robert's here, Dean's here, Chester's here. How is everybody?
Great.
Good.
Eric's out staring at the Lenny Kravitz poster.
That's what's happening. Right. He's just stuck there?
He's out there staring at it.
All right.
Today is a big day. The debut EP from this incarnation of STP is available everywhere, called High Rise. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's go back for a second, since the last time we saw you guys was on the night of the Weenie Roast. That was your coming out party. What do you remember about that night?
Hey, Eric.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I'd like to make a grand entrance. I'm pretty sure we were all there.
Yes. And you were all there.
And we performed secretly.
Right.
Yes. It was a big surprise when the stage turned with no introduction. All of a sudden, you were able to see faces in the audience of people going, but wait, but that, but he, I don't, what?
It's funny because I typically don't wear sunglasses on stage, but I was so nervous. I didn't want to make eye contact with anybody.
Really? That's why? Because you were.
So I wore my sunglasses for the first two shows so I could just kind of pretend like I.
Like it wasn't you?
Like I was blind.
Thank God it was a familiar venue.
That's what
made it comforting.
And it's funny to hear that Chester gets nervous because Chester could actually stare down Chuck Norris.
Is that right?
Yeah, he could.
It's true.
I remember Chester. Boy, what was it?
In the super early days, you guys were playing some kind of a calendar signing or something, and I remember him backstage just throwing up more than any one person should throw up.
Yeah.
And that's happened a lot to you, hasn't it?
I have.
What is it? Is it nerves?
You know what? I think that day I was actually sick.
Okay.
That'll do it.
All right, my bad on that day.
I was actually sick. But yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes for me, like, it's always playing in front of, like, a live TV audience, and you don't have any control. I might be slightly a little bit of a control freak.
A little OCD.
Yeah, and... And when I feel like I don't have any control over something, I kind of freak out. But you know, I mean, then I have to remind myself, I play music for a living.
Right, like, I do
you
this.
Know, I mean, you know, even if it's horrible, it's like I'm in a band. I mean, you know, I've got life figured out pretty good.
Right. I was curious because I was watching some of the press video that you guys made for the High Rise EP, and I was curious to hear, Chester, you talking about going to see STP as a teenager in Arizona just as a fan and how much of an impact that made on you and your future life career.
Well, you know, I had a lot of there's a lot of bands out there that I liked, but there were not that many bands that I thought came out in a live setting and just crushed it even more than their records.
Right.
And STP always did that.
Yeah, there are very few bands that are better than their records.
Yeah,
on stage.
And it was inspiring. It was like, okay, like that's how it's supposed to sound when you play live. That's the attitude you're supposed to bring. You know, so vocalists like Scott and, you know, Al Jurgensen and Perry Farrell and, you know, the Chili Peppers, like those were bands that I really looked up to in terms of the live performance because I thought they were always had a lot of energy and performed really, really well.
And let me ask you guys, what's your earliest memory of meeting Chester?
It must have been around 2000 at the Family Values tour, we all played together on that tour and kind of got to know each other and saw what Linkin Park was about, and we had to kind of go on after them. And
how was that?
Well, that was
a drag.
That actually led to indecent behavior on some of our parts.
You remember the first time we met?
You know,
spill it.
Spill it.
We did see each other in an airport. I was wearing an STP number 4 T-shirt. We were touring, and Dean saw me at the baggage claim, and he walked up and gave me a hug and a kiss on the cheek and said, "Thank you."
That's
it. It was awesome.
That's how it began.
Yeah.
The love affair was born.
Well, so you went to my Christmas party.
And I went to your Christmas party after the tour.
Yeah.
That was fine, too.
I still have that Polaroid of when you came over. Yeah.
That was how long ago it was. We were still using Polaroids.
Yeah.
I know how many intangibles are involved in chemistry. Sometimes it's just there or it's not. But you guys in a room together, I mean, it's amazing how easily you have worked together. Considering you both have a lot of experience with other incarnations, how effortlessly you were able to write these songs and record these songs, like one right after another. Tell me about that. Tell me about what that feeling was like when you realized, man, this is great on paper. It's even better in person.
It did. It did exactly as you expressed there, man. It went very easily, very quickly.
Were you a little nervous about how it would go, even though you get along?
No, not at all. I knew in my heart and in my bones that there was one person that really could do this entire thing justice. And that, of course, was Chester. And there was no one else that came to mind. There was no one, no other names on the table. It was
Bieber. But, I mean, really, Bieber and Chester.
Well,
and Stone Temple Bieber doesn't really have a place.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it was... There's something that happens when you when a group of musicians get together and you can all talk the talk, and it doesn't necessarily always happen, but when it does, man, it's you can feel it resonate through your body without sounding.
That's got to be super exciting.
It is super exciting.
Actually, that magic.
You know what? You know what's kind of like, you know, when you throw the bowling ball down the alley and before it leaves your fingers, you're like, "Ooh, that's going to be a good one."
You know? Yeah. And then it goes right in the gutter.
No, and it goes right down the middle.
Oh, it goes down the middle. Okay.
Busts them out.
Yeah.
We are talking to Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Today's a big day. The debut EP is out, called High Rise. Is this a digital only? Also available in stores? How many movies can we buy this?
We do have distribution partners all over the globe to put this in stores. So
okay.
you can go to your typical places, Best Buy or wherever you buy it.
How'd you decide on making it an EP, just 5 songs, rather than working another day and a half and finish an album?
That's funny.
That's
man.
A loaded question.
Well, we actually did not have the extra day and a half. Being in Linkin Park too, you know. My duties in LP can't, you know, I can't put those on the back burner, you know. So when we were making this EP, we knew that we could focus really strongly on 5 songs.
From the beginning?
That would be a realistic goal. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we're going to keep writing as much music as we can, but we're going to really laser focus on these 5 songs and put them out and then go on the road and tour. You know, the last thing we wanted to do was announce this big move and then not have music to back it up shortly thereafter. You know, we wanted to, you know, with you guys at the Weenie Roast, it was like a perfect storm, you know, played live, dropped the single, and we announced everything that day. And we wanted people to have music. And, you know, typically for me, from my experiences, it's taken a lot longer than a few months to make a record.
Right.
So, you know, we make a joke about it, but it's like, you know, now we're going to work on the next batch of songs. We'll probably get 5 songs done again and be the first band to ever release a double EP.
I like it.
That's what you'll do for the rest of time, is just a 5-song EP.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I think that's the way the music industry is going anyways. People buy music in single-serving sizes
now.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it's almost an exercise in futility, you know, for a band to think that they have to make a whole record that no one's going to pay attention to the entire thing anyways. And when you can really just focus on releasing music as it's done,
right.
Focus on releasing the best songs you have. And then, you know, for your hardcore fans, they can go to your site and they can, you know, get whatever else you have to offer.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But I mean, I think that's really the way the industry is going to move
forward.
Is that
a difficult thing for all of you to accept that has all changed? The whole listening to the whole album thing really gone?
Well, then again, you know, growing up in the 70s, you know, there was a great listening experience there. It took, you know, double albums and a lot of marijuana, but you know, it was the double fold or the triple fold, and the triple fold was great. Like Rush Archives, that record was great because you could put your weed up there, sort the seeds down, and then roll on the third fold.
I like,
you know,
it.
I mean,
I like, yeah, it.
So
we're learning a little something here today.
Yeah. I mean, we're full of all sorts of good tips in this area.
All right. Well, listen, Stone Temple Pilot, Chester Bennington here at the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock. As we mentioned, High Rise available everywhere today. I know it's an ideal time for rock guys to be playing live, but we're going to give it a try, right?
You know,
usually you like to get in before 8 a.m., so we're running a little late.
We're going to give it a whirl. I was in the studio yesterday with the boys in Linkin Park, and we happened to be writing some pretty mellow music that I was screaming for my brains out until about 10 o'clock last night. So
when you woke up this morning, you went,
you have to forgive me today if I give a little, like a 13-year-old boy.
People are used to crappy entertainment on this program. Don't worry about it. We're going to be fine.
We've got them trained.
Then we are going to be a 5-star right turd in today. Right.
We have worked tirelessly throughout the years to lower the bar of expectation on the Kevin and Bean Show. Couldn't be more excited to see you guys. We love each and every one of you and have forever. Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington are here. They are going to go to the next room. We'll take a very tiny short break on the Kevin and Bean Show. Come back and hear some live music right after this on K-Rock.
We have some live music for you.
Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington here on the world-famous K-Rock. Debut EP is out. It is called High Rise. We're going to be hearing a couple of acoustic versions of songs from the band. What are you guys going to play first for us?
I think we're going to play some Blackheart for you.
Blackheart.
Love it.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yes. Good morning.
1, 2, 3, 4.
crowd goes wild. That is called the Blackheart Acoustic from Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock from High Rise, available. By the way, you guys made reference to get this new music out there and then hit the road. You have some dates already planned again?
You know, we've got some dates planned through up through March. We're going to head out to Japan in here in about a week and a half. Then we've got some shows in December that we're playing.
Good times?
Yeah, be a really good time. And then we're heading off to Australia.
Wow.
In February, I believe.
Are you trying to kill yourself? Is that what's happening here?
I think I might be. death by complete happiness and joy.
That's a great great attitude, Chester. We got time for another one if you want to sing something else from the new STP EP. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, the EP is pretty rocking. It's kind of hard to transpose those songs into an acoustic acoustic performance, but we can play something that's a little older.
All right. Fine.
Do some Pretty Penny maybe, guys? Or
we need a guitar, right?
Yeah.
We just need to get the proper equipment in in the guy's hands.
Oh.
Plugging in a guitar was what that was?
Doink.
All right. Now they're juggling guitars in the other room, actually juggling them.
To your guitar, Robert. This is not quite in tune, Bruce.
Bruce, God damn it. What do we have to do to get a guitar in tune?
Can you say that?
We knew Bruce was trouble.
Oh, look at him.
Bruce.
Yep.
Oh, that looks quite nice. Lovely, Robert, lovely.
Just tuning into All Things Considered, we're listening to George Benson. Jazz icon.
Okay, let's hear your guitar, Robert.
Don't make fun of me.
All right, should we try this?
All right.
So, Kratz, it's 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, right?
We all remember.
It's early, man.
And their first ever show together, ladies and gentlemen, Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington.
Yeah. Good boy.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3. Have you seen your mother, girl? Has she gone? And the price she paid.
Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington right there.
Very nice. Very nice, gentlemen.
Even a bigger crowd now.
It's amazing how many people you can fit in this room.
It really is. What's receiving in the studio?
Those kids back in school.
The EP is called High Rise. It is available today. So great to see all you guys again, and so happy. And I got our fingers crossed, nothing but success for you in the future. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
Where's my key card?
What?
With my key card.
Oh, yeah.
Why can I not get into the
You didn't get in today because I went to the Los Angeles Kings home opener.
Why do you have to lose your key card because you go to a hockey game? I don't see how the two are connected.
Threw off my whole system, Ralph.
Threw off your system? Your elaborate system?
I wanted to ask about this because we have like a lot of businesses. We have a card to use to
get
into the
building.
We
don't need to get into this now.
Well, let's just for one second here. So K-Rock has been in this building since 2000. So that's 13 years. In those 13 years, Ralph, a guy who has also driven to work every single morning of those 13 years, how many times have you not had your key card with you?
Oh, let me think. That would be never.
You never once?
No, I did forget my wallet once. Yes. That's true. So I did forget my wallet.
Yes. So one time?
Yeah.
I've lost mine a couple of times.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah. She's lost hers a couple of times. Mm-hmm. How many times have you not had a key card when you arrived at the building, Kevin? 100?
Between losing them and then not having them, what would you think the number would be?
In the 13 years?
Yeah.
I would guess at least 100.
I mean,
I think that's probably pretty fair.
It's three digits. It's somewhere in three digits.
Yeah. Could be high three digits.
Yeah. I think that's all Ralph is mocking.
I know.
I've
had the same key card my entire career here in this
building. I have too.
Yeah.
Well, you never use it, Bean. It makes sense. You probably have your framed on the wall or something in case of emergency break
glass.
Yeah,
but Bean hasn't been here in a year and he'll have it. That's BS. I throw off one thing and my whole system goes right to hell.
You don't have a system.
I have a.
Stop saying you have a system.
I have a very organized system.
If there was any system at all, we wouldn't be having this conversation. This is four people behind him waiting to get into the parking lot today, and he's just sitting there.
And didn't he almost run down Dave in the parking lot? Did I hear that?
Gunned it backwards, almost took the King of Mexico
out. I made a sweet move to get out of the way so Dave could go, and then I could follow him.
You're sweet, huh?
Kevin, God damn it.
Exactly. All right, time for one more look.
At the show,
the fucking car on the party bus.
By the way, everybody that sees a party bus now takes a picture of it and tweets it to me.
Because
every single person.
That's how you usually get around.
Are you on this bus? Is the question,
Kevin? I don't know why you don't see this as your part time money making opportunity is to start Kevin's party bus.
Kevin,
have it
ride
be a
party
service.
Bus?
Yeah, have it be a service in Southern California. People can hire a party bus with your face on it.
Just have it
have to have my face.
Yeah, it does. It's shaped like your head with wheels. It could fit like 100 people in it. It'd be like a stretch Hummer.
All right, we're having fun, aren't we?
That's my business with Kevin. Now I got some business with Bean.
Yes, let's hear it.
I just what happened to
let's
what did
point
I do?
At someone else and
just
laugh.
Wanted to give you a Bean an update. We were talking about the Bryan Cranston play All the Way.
Uh-huh.
Which is the story of Lyndon Baines Johnson, the president who was at the time vice president when President Kennedy was shot and had to take over upon his death, became the president. It's about his first year in the White House. It's about the Kennedy assassination. Bryan Cranston, coming off of Breaking Bad, is getting great reviews of this play in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now they've announced it is moving to Broadway. We'll start on Broadway this winter. Expected to be one of the hardest tickets to get in the New York theater scene when he gets there because he's such a big star. And Bean was joking, oh, does it have this scene? And he played a scene where LBJ's talking to his tailor about making a little room in his pants there.
It's the best tape ever.
For his, you know... It's jiggly bits. Got this email from listener Scott Davis. Hi, Ralph. Saw Bryan Cranston All the Way in Cambridge, Massachusetts last Friday, and the scene with LBJ and his tailor is in there.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
The whole thing that Bean played on the air this morning, it got the biggest laugh in the play, Scott Davis. So Scott has seen the play and said, yes, in fact, they are including that sequence.
They have the president of the United States talking about his bunghole.
Yeah, can we...
leave me... you never do have much margin there. Let's see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper ends, around under my back of my bunghole.
Yeah.
He's on the phone. He's trying to get some pants tailored or made for him that are comfortable. He's on the phone with the guy who runs Hagar Slacks, very popular brand at the time, may still be around today. And somehow that was, you know, I guess all the calls were recorded in the Oval Office, and somehow that one came to light a couple of years ago, and it's awesome.
He needs more room for his testicles.
Yeah, is what not enough space there.
Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight.
I'm glad he cleared up crotch and where the nuts hang as if
they're
we
different
were confused
places.
They might be separate. Really? Your nuts are hanging down by the crotch area?
USA! USA!
Because President Truman's was on his back when we made pants for him.
He was a classy fella, that LB was.
Hear Kennedy's calls with all of his various girlfriends from the White House. Do they have those, Ralph? Are those public?
Do you? Creepy? Do you want to hear that?
I'd like to hear that.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't want to hear that.
You want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it.
You do.
I just said I didn't.
I know, but you do.
Khloe Kardashian is not messing around when it comes to her estranged husband, Lamar Odom. Insiders are telling RadarOnline.com that she recently had a professional search team come to her home to go through it everywhere to find any drugs that may be hidden anywhere in the home.
Because she wanted to do them?
No, her fear is that the police show up with a search warrant if Lamar gets in some trouble, and then they find hidden goodies around the house, and then she gets implicated if she's holding drugs, so she's concerned now that she will be drawn into his problems if there's any drugs hidden in the place. Where the search team did not find any drugs. They did find a stash of Chloe's Mars bars all over the place, some peanut butter M&Ms, and a leg of lamb stuck in a chandelier. I don't like that family. Have I made that apparently
clear? You haven't, really?
Yeah.
You haven't said anything about that.
Valerie Harper got voted off Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. Sadly, she's gone. It was she and Snooki and Brant Daugherty. Daugherty. Brant Daugherty. Daugherty. Who's that?
Whoever that is.
I don't know who any of those people are.
I got nothing for you there. But they were in the bottom three, and Valerie got booted. Meanwhile, Snooki and Brant live to dance another day. So far, everybody's saying it looks like Elizabeth Berkley is in the front when it comes to who's going to win the coveted mirror ball.
Okay.
Is it coveted?
It is coveted, yes. Corbin Blue and Amber Riley also odds on favorites to perhaps take it home. The rest of
all three of them have extensive show business dance experience.
This is true. This is true. Bill Nye didn't fare so well.
Not so well?
No.
It's funny, Kevin, you mock, is it coveted? For some reason it is, because do they even offer money? Is there even a cash prize, Ralph?
Sweetheart, you got the wrong guy.
There's got to be a cash prize.
I'm not well-versed in the ways of Dancing with the Stars.
Of course there is.
I thought it was just you're winning, you know, you play for pride and for that stupid statue.
It's like $100,000.
Oh, is it? You do get a big payoff? Okay.
That's nothing. That's chump change. We gave that on Joe Schmo, for God's sakes.
Right. But it's a lot if you're Elizabeth Berkley, though.
No, but I think they make money each round. Like, each time they last,
Mike told us that.
They make a little bit of
something. Give you a little bump.
I believe so.
All right.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Angus T. Jones is 20 years old today. Singer Bruno Mars celebrates his 28th birthday. Travis Pastrana, extreme athlete extraordinaire, is 30. Nick Cannon, he's that guy.
Luckiest man in show business.
He is that guy.
Who hosts the
show.
America's Got Talent.
With those
people. So funny, they call it America's Got Talent, and the guy hosting the show has none.
Yeah.
That sets a bad example, I think, for the rest of the kids. He's 33 years old. LBJ, could you please just cover your mouth? Mr. President, you're embarrassing. Matt Damon's 43 years old today. Sigourney Weaver celebrates her 64th birthday. Chevy Chase turns 70. Why don't I see those two together? Did they ever do a movie together, Chevy Chase, Sigourney Weaver?
I don't know. Not that I know of.
Got me.
Are they Spies Like Us, something like that? I had a flash on those two working together somehow.
Maybe because they have the same birthday.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe they were in that same birthday movie that I keep flashing on. Jesse Jackson, 72. Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dunn, Mother F&D, 74 years old today. And Robert Cool Bell, he is cool of Cool and the Gang. He is 63 years old today. I remember Beer Mug's in-depth interview with Cool as if it was yesterday.
All right, here at the Grammy Roundtable with Ronnie and Cool of none other than Cool and the Gang. How are you gentlemen doing?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your biggest hits goes a little something like this. Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight?
No.
No.
That wasn't them.
Nope. Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yeah.
Sorry, thanks for playing. We do have the home version of our game, Beer Mug, but it's time for you to go. No, seriously. It's time for you to go.
He
I'm
just got here.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. LBJ, please.
That's the best tape ever.
Did you hear that?
Hail to the chief.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Noel Bitterman in the program talking about Ashley Madison. We have Rob Zombie talking about his Great American Nightmare, A Maze. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. And Steve Aoki will also be here.
Awesome.
Talking about the project that he did with Linkin Park on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean.